Howdy, everybody, and welcome to the October 19th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I am Uncle Bill, as always.
And as always, I'm a creep Kentuckian, too.
So guess what, bitches? Guess what's going on this week?
Oh, Lord.
Because we're getting ready to tell you.
I'm going to give you a look, yeah. What is it going to be, Uncle Bill?
What were you going to say? You going to give me a little what, Peter? No, you ain't.
Biggin.
No.
Biggin.
No. No. I'm positive it looks like a raisinette.
Oh, you won't see it?
No.
I'll whip it out and smack you with it.
No. Here's what it would sound like.
And I'll lay my balls over your forehead. I'll make you like a little ball sack yarmulke on your head.
It'd probably look like two seedless grapes on top of my head.
Here's what, okay. Yeah. And I hate to get into religion since I'm just thinking of this.
Two seedless grapes in a marble bag. All right. Religion, what?
Yarmulkes, I don't get it. Like, what does the yarmulke do? It's just a goddamn hat.
It protects your head from demons.
Does it?
That's what it's for. I heard that.
Yeah, that one kid, he was on American Idol or one of those shows. I don't know. And he always had his yarmulke on. And he had like a the right color for whatever outfit he wore.
Right. I don't know.
Where would you go? Like, would it, Yarmulkes R Us or something? Would it get you all the different colored yarmulkes?
Yeah. Yarmulkes R Us is a good store. Yeah. The yarmulke tree. Every yarmulke is a dollar.
That's true. Yeah. All yarmulkes.
Yeah.
In the mall.
But anyway.
Anyway. Guess what's coming back?
Guess what's happening this week, though?
What is?
In case anybody doesn't know, if you didn't listen to the
ain't much
midweek show, you probably should have, because this week we're bringing back the call-in portion of the program. We're going to be taking everybody's phone calls a little bit later. So that should be a giant clusterfuck, but we enjoy that.
It's going to be the majority of the show, actually, because we don't have really anything else planned at all.
Yeah, and the fun thing is we've only got about 3 or 4 news stories here because there ain't nothing going on, even though it's almost Halloween.
It is crazy. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. I mean, they are releasing some of the teasers for the upcoming next year for movies that's coming out.
Yeah.
Which, like, I think somebody posted on Facebook, too. Might have been Adam Beck or one of those guys. Why would you release Carrie and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Evil Dead in the fucking spring? Like, wouldn't you want that shit to come out? It's going to make more money if it's released in October.
Did you see the Carrie trailer, by the way?
It's just a teaser thing. Yeah. You can't really tell anything from it.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty neat, though, the way they did that.
Yeah, it's like a... I don't know. I don't like the fact that they already told what happened and stuff, so... But I guess if you've seen the
original, assuming everybody knows, like, how the movie ends.
True.
But the one that I haven't got a chance to see yet that everybody's fucking creaming their jeans over is the Evil Dead remake trailer.
We'll have to remedy that. I'll show it to you.
Yeah, because there seems to be quite a bit of hype about that. But anyway, it's a good point, though. Why the hell would you bring out all of the big horror films at a time when horror films generally do well?
You got Paranormal Activity. They always release their shit every, you know. It shouldn't take a fucking genius to figure it out. I mean, holy shit. People want to see stuff like that around, you know, October.
Not January.
Not a stupid. You don't have to be like a rocket scientist to figure it out. I mean,
they're paying people money to figure that out.
I honestly think that's why the Saw movies made so much money, is it become a tradition every year. It's October. Saw, there's going to be a new Saw movie. And the Paranormal Activity's kind of adopted that as well.
Yeah. Have you seen the new spots for the Paranormal Activity 4 movie?
No.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. There's only so many different ways that you can show a kid moving towards camera and then being quickly jerked away before it gets boring. And they've exceeded that limit.
But as long as those movies keep making money, they're going to keep fucking making.
Oh, I know that.
I mean, that third one made more than any of them.
They'll make 9 or 10 of them like they did the Saw franchise before it's over with. I know that. I'm just saying, like, it's getting to the point where all the trailers look exactly the same. Like, oh,
that's true. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you can't really fault them for fucking, I mean, they're just milking it now, you know. That's what always happens.
Look here. I'm in the dark, and I'm going to get jerked back by something.
But, we might as well get into the news, and since we're talking about somebody milking something for all it's worth, let's talk about The Walking Dead, Uncle Bill.
Buddy, I won't have you talking shit about The Walking Dead in my presence.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to. Sunday night season 3 premiere rocked a gigantic 10.9 million, the biggest show of this fall season, and beating broadcast network hits like The Modern Family. Uncle Billy, they beat the fucking Modern Family. The episode was up more than 50% against the second season, and repeats at 10 p.m. and 12 p.m. brought in ratings of a massive 15.2 million.
I watched it. I thought that it was probably overall, with the exception of maybe the first and second episode of the first season, probably the best episode that they've ever done.
Well, I haven't watched it, and I really don't intend to.
And I have heard quite a few people. There's some people. You're in good company, because Jim O'Rear didn't like it either. So,
well, it's not like I don't... I haven't watched it. I don't give a fuck.
But I've heard people say things like, though, there's this trend now of, like, a backlash against it. And I think the only reason that there's a backlash against it is because it's popular. Like, it seems that...
No, I disagree with
that. There's always going to be a group of people that if something gets really, really popular, they're going to hate it just because it's really popular. But that doesn't mean it's not good. That just means that a lot of people
I think a lot of people don't like it because, and I know for a fact, I'm one of them, because you cannot fucking turn it on AMC without seeing that little goddamn Walking Dead Sunday at 9 o'clock. Yeah. I believe enough fucking people knows when the fuck it comes on.
Yeah, quite a few.
I was watching the Friday the 13th marathons and shit. That little bug stayed there the whole goddamn time.
Watch it.
I mean, I could understand, okay, coming back from commercial the first minute or so, but no. They kept it up the whole fucking time.
Here's when I watch it, I'm like, what? I don't understand why. Like, what more you could want out of a horror-themed TV series? Because it's got fucking tons of gore. It's got makeup effects done by Greg Nicotero. It's got a lot of action and, like, a ton of zombies and a really cool premise, which is in this season, like, they stumble upon a prison and try to, like, take it over like the mall in Dawn of the Dead because they figure it's already gated up and already, like, the fence is already chain-linked and everything, so they're going to build, like, a society in the prison. Which, I mean, what is there not to like about that?
All I'm saying is it's fallen victim now, or it will be eventually, if not now, to overexposure.
Well, it's but that's just because everybody watches it. I mean, that's not...
Yeah, but stuff like that doesn't last. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I agree. I mean, even the things like Tales from the Crypt and the Twilight Zone and stuff that was...
They never got that goddamn popular.
Popular.
Like, this is the most fucking popular show on TV. At least on network, you know, on the cable TV or whatever. And it even beat out some of the network shows. So, the thing is, okay, you've got a successful show. You don't need to be, you know, blasting every goddamn fucking... You can't watch anything on AMC without seeing something about The Walking Dead. That pisses me off.
I understand. The only thing I think will be a problem with it, and this is something that I always hated anyway, but it's going to get even worse, is now that that show is like the number one show, you're going to see zombies for fucking hell and ever. Like, there'll be zombies and everything for the next 3 or 4 years, I guarantee you.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I felt about The Walking Dead, at least the first season, which I watched, whenever Frank Darabont left, you could definitely tell, like, that his influence was no longer in the show.
Well, the second season was not very good, to be honest, but I just kept watching it because it was a really good chance for them to do something really great. But
well, they did have, I heard the American Horror Story season 2. That
dude, I watched some of that, and I fucking absolutely loved the first season of that. This second season, it was... They're going to have to do something, because if they keep doing, like, if it progresses the way that they're doing it right now, nobody's going to watch that shit. It was fucking shit. Like, I know it's supposed to be kind of like avant-garde and kind of a little bit edgier than The Walking Dead stuff, but that shit was like almost impossible to even follow or even like get behind in any way. Like, it's what they did was the first season was a very simple premise. There's like a family that moves into a house, and the house is like basically haunted. They don't know it's haunted, but it's haunted. And then they eventually die, and they're a part of the house. Simple fucking concept. Done like a million different times.
Now they're a part of an asylum.
No, now it's not even like that they're a part of the society. Now it's not any, nothing's connected to the first season. All the characters are completely different. Like the Jessica Lange played one character in the first season. She's a completely fucking different character now inside this asylum. And every other character is like a different character. It's like, it's almost the Halloween 3 approach where you take the same concept and you completely fuck it up and like make it everything everybody's used to. You change it around and that's not going to work. It's really not, like, if they keep it up.
Hmm. I wonder why they chose to go that route.
I have no idea.
At the end of the first season, though, could they have actually done, like, continuation?
Yeah. What I would think that they would have done, which would have made more sense, was just have another family move into the house and keep the same characters and just add shit around that. Like,
maybe they didn't want to do that.
They didn't do that, though.
So, anyway, The Walking Dead's on top of the world, Bulls. Sean Clark's fucking got money, dollar signs in his fucking eyeballs.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Norman Reedus.
Suck on that Norman Reedus tit till it's dry.
I don't blame him. I do the same.
No, that's why I'm being serious. Anyway. Insidious 2.
Oh, my God.
The Conjuring. It says...
I hate the fucking sub-name.
It says it will wrap production in a few more weeks and is set for release in July. James Wan revealed that he plans to be more involved with the sequel to Insidious than he has with the entire Saw franchise, I'm sure. He says, I think the sequel to Insidious is kind of my reaction to Saw, where for my own reason, I wasn't as involved in the sequels, and so I felt with Insidious that I think it would be good to shepherd it and keep more in track to the version I had made when I made the first film so that it doesn't detour too far. So he says, yeah, I'm kind of working on with Lee on the story and the script. Here's what he said about the long term.
Let's just hope that Darren Lynn Bousman's not directing it.
I'm sure Darren Lynn Bousman doesn't have anything to do with it.
Well, good.
Yeah. It says, here's what he has to say about the long term plans for Insidious. He says, I never set out to make sequels to any of the films I direct. If they happen, that's great because that means people out there love it and they want more of it.
That means he's going to get more money.
I always felt with Insidious we created this really interesting world that we can explore more. And so even though we didn't set out to make a sequel, I felt there are stories still out there that could be told. And let me translate that for you. I'm going to get money. Okay. About the sequel, Patrick Wilson has to say, we're still trying to figure out this Insidious sequel, and then we should jump onto that. I think it will probably be the next big thing. I might find something small in between that I can dig into, but I'm happy being a dad.
Well, that's good for Patrick.
Good for you, buddy.
Wasn't he the same guy that was in, goddamn, what was that, what was the name of that movie, with, where he was the child molester or something like that? And it was the breakout role for, oh, God, I can't believe I even brought this up. I can't remember his name.
I'm not sure what that is.
Winner's
Bone?
No.
Winner's Bone,
baby.
I just like saying Winner's Bone.
The Canadian girl was...
Oh, Hard Candy.
Yeah, wasn't that him? Isn't that Patrick Wilson?
I don't even know who the fuck Patrick Wilson is, to be
wasn't
honest.
Wasn't he the molester, though?
He might have been.
I think it is.
I remember he tried to molest Juno.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That was bad.
So anyway, we're going to take a break. We got a couple more news stories to get to, and then we're going, hey, this show is in the hands of the fans, Uncle
God
Bill.
God help us all.
Because we have nothing to talk about. There is nothing. It's October, and it sucks.
Nothing to talk about, but all we got is time, so you got to fill
it
up.
That's right. So let's play some Hootie and the Blowfish as we're going out here. And we'll be right back here on DeadPit.com, your one-stop shop for anal. Fans of Dead Pit Radio, have we got a treat for you? Isn't that right, Uncle Bill?
Hell yeah, buddy. If you act between now and October the 31st, we're going to have a special surprise.
That's right. Magnolia Home Entertainment and Magnet Pictures have supplied Dead Pit Radio with 10 DVD copies of their upcoming film, Beyond the Black Rainbow.
Universally hailed as one of the best new horror films to come out in the past year. You need to act now to get yours.
So, Jesco, what can they do to possibly win one of these 10 DVDs? You came up with the idea, let us know.
If you enter at deadpit.com or you submit at Deadpit Universe fan page, a picture of you in a Halloween costume, or you have your face painted in a really neat Halloween-esque way, or if it comes closer to pumpkin season, having a really cool pumpkin carving, then you can be a winner, possibly, of this great movie.
Yeah, we have to judge it, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, if it's a piece of trash, we ain't going to pick it.
Yeah, so someone just...
Whoever has the best costume, decoration, has to be one of the 10 best you could possibly win this upcoming DVD.
Can you be one of the elite 10 in the
Dead
Pit universe?
Can you be creative enough?
Be creative this Halloween with Dead Pit Radio and Magnolia Pictures.
And CK is a pretty hard judge.
Yeah, he doesn't like nothing.
That's true.
You have to
really impress me quite a bit.
So anyway, go over to the site, check it out. Contest, Facebook page, 10 free copies, 10 Blu-rays are out there to be won. If you can do it, can you take the challenge and win?
It's time to get excited.
I might just do it myself.
You ain't going to win nothing, Jess. We're not eligible to win any of this.
Well, I'll create new people for myself, too.
You probably would do that.
I
would.
Some aliases. So go on deadpit.com right now. Email us with a costume that you have, deadpit at deadpit.com, or post it on the Facebook Universe Deadpit page.
You can have really awesome makeup or a really cool, creative, original pumpkin carving.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, it would be that might be, you know, better if you did something deadpit. Wise, it might.
That's right.
Yeah, that
yeah.
might. That
you can
might
butter
be
us up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Butter our bread.
That's right, because we're making
points.
The decisions.
Right.
We're the ones that'll pick who deserves these DVDs. Beyond the Black Rainbow. Deadpit.com. Hello, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm Uncle Bill.
And we're going to talk about The Creature from the Black Lagoon, baby, the remake.
Oh, my God, why?
I don't know. I think that any remake that Universal Pictures is a part of is guaranteed to be shit, dipped in shit, and rolled over, and AIDS come.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. The Invasion screenwriter, Dave Kajganish, is tapped to pen the remake of the 1954 classic at Universal Pictures. Despite early reports, Carl Reintje is not attached to direct. Well, God damn it. I wanted Carl Reintje to direct that movie.
Who the fuck is Carl Reintje?
I have no idea. Kajganich, who has worked on various Stephen King projects, is in development, including new take on The Stand and Pet Sematary. So he's fucking hard at work, like, you know, just copying shit.
Yeah, he is. One thing I do like about Carl Reintje, though, is that his brother Dave Screwdriver is going to be involved. Oh, that was a bad joke. I apologize for that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So they're going to be remaking everything that Stephen King's ever done, and then The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
I don't know if it's just we're like, fucking, I just keep thinking of Van Helsing.
I do too, because you know the creature will be CG this time.
Oh yeah, I mean it's just going to be so shitty. Like I,
you just know it is.
I just don't see how, even the Wolfman remake too. Everybody fucking hated that come out.
It was awful. Have you ever tried to watch that?
I never wanted to watch it. That's the thing.
You can get it now if you want to for like $1.99 at Go Hastings.
Yeah, I probably could have got it for like 99 cents to sale they had last time, but.
Dude, it's awful.
I rather bought
Knucklehead. It's just.
I bought Knucklehead instead. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's honestly like Van Helsing. I've never watched, never wanted to watch. Wolfman remake, I've never watched, never wanted to watch. Just they just look horrible. They look like movies. That
they
just,
are horrible.
I'm not into that shit. So, and I'm
you
sure Creature from the Black Lagoon is going to be the same way.
In my opinion, you could take Van Helsing. You could take all the Underworld movies. You could take a majority of the Resident Evil movies. And anything like this, any kind of monster film that's newer, you could take all those and put them into a big kettle and shit on top of them. And I'd be fine with that because they are some of the worst fucking
movies. And
throw
a grenade in there.
Ever made. Yeah. I mean, I hate creature films that are CG'd anyway. I just fucking hate that. Like, I think it always looks shit.
What's weird is, too, with all those movies, I don't know if I ever heard from anybody that liked any of them, either.
what, any of those movies I just named, you can still occasionally find some people that like the Resident Evil franchise. I have no idea why. Like, really, I don't. Or the Underworld franchise.
How many fucking
Resident
Evil movies have they even made?
I think six, five or six.
I think it's the only jobs that fucking Mila Jovovich.
It is. Have you ever seen her anything else except that shitty, like.
The Fourth Kind.
Fourth Kind.
She set the world on fire in that.
She's like, hi, I'm Mila Jovovich. I'm going to narrate this shit. You know, I really don't need to.
He's like, hello, I'm Phil McTamila Jovovich. Everything you're going to see in this movie is true. And that's basically all I can remember from the movie.
That's it.
God damn, this movie's fucking shit.
Yeah, it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and that's saying a lot.
I remember Sleepy bought that Blu-ray from me. I don't know why. But I remember, like, handing it to him, and it was almost like you were fucking handing him poison or something.
It's like you slung shit on him. Fuck you.
Oh, man.
Anyway, speaking of
slinging
a bunch
shit.
Of bullshit, Sam Raimi is actually set to direct the remake of Poltergeist. Which
get excited, folks.
David Lindsay Abaire has been writing since April. Says the remake of Toby Hooper's classic is a story of a suburban home built on an ancient Indian burial ground and thus inhabited by nasty spookters. While Raimi does have the family mentality and also one of the best at creating impact moments in the genre, this is also probably not even true. Because I know the place that reported it.
Well, hey, it gives us something to fucking talk about, at least. Man, I was actually going back because I've been, you know, pacing myself on this Dead Pit Premium thing, right? And I've been finding some of these old shows, and I was just listening, like, just for the hell of it, I was like, I want to listen to the first show we ever did, you know. And I swear to God, we had no reason to bitch back then. We don't know how well we fucking had it, God damn it.
Yeah.
When we were ranting about fucking, I think we were like bitching about the, I think didn't Land of the Dead come out that year, which Land of the Dead's a bad movie, okay? But God damn.
I'm going to be honest with you though, man. And this probably just shows you how bad things have gotten. I actually am starting to think that Land of the Dead
is good.
Or not good, but at least better than I want. Because if you look at the other movies he did, like Romero did in that franchise, man, there ain't no fucking way that Diary of the Dead or Survival of the Dead is any worse than Land of the Dead. I guarantee it. And a lot of the films that have come out in the last couple of years, I think that...
No, Survival of the Dead's way better, or way worse than fucking Land of the Dead.
That's what I meant to say. There's no way that those movies are better
than
Land of the Dead.
You know, Survival of the Dead, look. And we've probably said this enough, but fuck. He should never, ever make another movie if he can't make anything better than Survival of the Dead.
One thing I remember about watching that movie, I was like, this, first of all, looks like a Lionsgate direct-to-DVD movie. Second of all, it's got some of the dumbest shit in it I've ever seen. Like, just some of the stupidest fucking gags for no reason. Right. Third of all, when it got to the part where the bitch is riding a horse, like the zombie's riding a horse, I was like, ah, fuck it. Fuck it. No.
We should probably do like a drunk commentary over that movie at some point. I think people enjoy that.
If you as a human being on the planet Earth that has a brain or any fucking sense of like the zombie mythology can watch that scene and not be like, wow, this is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen, then there's something not working for you.
There's definitely something wrong with a lot of people out there because there's people looking forward to Texas Chainsaw 3D. Oh, God, that trailer looks killer.
Look at him. He's got a W on.
Oh, my God.
He's got suspenders.
Look, it's Bill Mosley, and he's standing in front of something that looks like the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre house. Look.
I mean, at this point, you don't even really know what to say about this. These kind of movies. It's like they just keep shitting them out of their ass one after another.
Let me tell you something, though, too, man. Like, people probably don't realize this, but the movie business is, over the next 10 years, is going to be drastically different than it even is right now, in my opinion. I think that we're going to get to a point where the movie theaters themselves, well, we know the smaller town movie theaters, they're going to be out, you know. And that's, I think that maybe bigger cities, That'll be the only way you can go see a movie in a theater. And we're talking about cities like Lexington, Louisville, maybe Richmond, the cities those size.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But our asses ain't going to be able to watch anything in a theater here in the next 5 or 10 years, I'm betting.
That's really kind of depressing if you think about it. I mean, that's something you just grow up with.
Well,
that's not going to exist anymore.
The movie studios themselves shot their fucking self in the foot.
They did.
Because, well, they're causing these theaters to go out, the studios, because they want to move over to digital, okay? Digital looks too much like Blu-ray. If you have a Blu-ray and a high-def, a good, you know, big high-def TV, there ain't no fucking difference, really. I mean, you're watching it on a massive screen, but it's just, it doesn't feel special like, you know, the 35 millimeter does, if you ask me. I mean, I think it changes the experience totally.
I do, too. I don't know. It'd be like if somebody came in one day and they're like, hey, you can't have TV anymore. And they like, took your fucking TV out. Like, we're not going to do that anymore.
See, I mean, it's hard to explain. I was watching something. Quentin Tarantino is probably in the same boat as us, of course. You know how he is about film and stuff. And the way he described it was just right on. Because 35 millimeter is actual film, right? It's the same type of film, of course, minus the audio, when you take a picture. You know, so it's really moving pictures that makes it seem like you're really there watching it in person, just oversized, you know. And the 35, I mean, we're not going to have that anymore. I know it's probably more convenient and costs the studios less money because they can just, you know, ship a little hard drive or beam it from the theater or whatever, not have to ship these fucking 50-pound reels.
Right.
But at the same time, the experience is going to be so much like watching a movie at your house. Nobody's going to fucking pay $10 a fucking ticket.
Well, if you've noticed, though, every like advance in technology, at least in the last 10 years, has been centered around moving people away from having to go out and like moving in towards like going to like staying in your house to do everything.
Right.
Shopping, like online shopping, movies. Fucking online movies, radio, anything that like you would do, like out somewhere, like you would go out and have like around you or something.
Well, I think a lot of that is because people just don't want to fucking leave the house.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it's all geared towards that, which I don't think that's a really good fucking idea anyway. Like you're just gonna have a bunch of hermits sitting around.
It's not like
how to
though.
Fucking...
It's the movie studios want you to fucking come to the theater. That's the thing, but it's gonna backfire on them because. There's just not going to be, I mean, people aren't going to the movies anyway. I mean, here's a fucking idea for you movie studios. Why don't you fucking make some good goddamn movies?
Well,
movies that people want to fucking see.
Look at the way they define good, though. They define good by what makes money, and the shit that makes money, I don't think is, it's like Twilight and shit like that. Like, that's what they want to make.
Well, I mean, even this past summer, though, the only movies that really made money was Spider-Man and Batman. That's it. Everything else is fucking nothing.
And I really don't fucking like comic book movies. I really don't. Like, the Avengers and fucking Spider-Man and even Batman to a degree, but I think Batman's a little bit different because that series is actually a little bit more...
The problem is, though, that I've always seen is, like, and it's, for some reason, over the past 10 years, it's changed like this. Like, I mean, I can even remember when we would go and do our film fests and stuff, and there would legitimately be two or three different movies we wanted to fucking see.
Mm-hmm.
And anymore, holy shit, man, you're lucky, like, within a 2 or 3 month period, you're going to have one movie you want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So, the problem is, I think they're not making anything that people want to go watch.
You should tell them that.
I think they probably realize that. They're losing money.
Yeah.
And one other thing I would fucking, you know, another commandment I would make as far as thou shall not let fucking Kevin James make any more goddamn fucking movies.
Did that movie come out yet? The one with he's the cage fighter or whatever?
I think the only reason he's getting any of these movies is fucking that Paul Blart was a complete fucking fluke and it made a ton of money and like they're trying to do that again. and it's just not, it's never worked again.
I think that those movies make money for pretty much the same type of reason those goddamn Madea movies make money too.
Did you hear something about, though, Tyler Perry's making like some sort of serious fucking, I mean, it's not one of his directed movies.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. It's supposed to be pretty good, though.
Is Madea still going to be in it? She's going to come in?
He's actually,
hi, baby!
I think he's in it just as an actor, but I can't remember the damn name of it. Tyler Perry, as you've never seen him before.
Yeah. Worth a fuck would be how I've never seen him before.
That's true. I always thought that Madea looked like fucking Samuel L. Jackson dressed up in drag.
Oh, God. I hate shit like that. I think that's probably like those kind of movies, those Kevin James kind of movies like that are the ones that I hate the most out of anything.
Anything
really.
Adam Sandler does.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the fuck happened to that guy.
Money. He's just like, oh, whatever, I'll take it. Give me money.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know.
But anyway.
Sam Raimi Poltergeist, who gives a shit, really? It's not going to happen. Twilight remake, Uncle Bill. Oh, God. We were just talking about Twilight. According to Movie Hole. Stick a movie in your hole. There's a TV show or spinoff maybe planned, merely set in the same world as the one in the movies, but not featuring the main trio. So no Jacob, no Bella, no Edward, Uncle Bill. It ain't gonna be the same.
Bella, Edward,
Jacob. but that's being seriously considered. With maybe, I don't know who this is, the Wolf Pack being one area of interest. So they're going to have like a spinoff.
Is it going to have Kevin Nash in it?
Oh!
Don't turn your back on the Wolf Pack, or you might wind up in a body bag.
You know what's funny, though? You want to hear something else funny you probably didn't know? Since Jimmy Hart, I think, wrote the music in that, and he was with TNA at the time, they used that for like Kevin Nash's theme song. In TNA.
Hell yeah.
I thought that
but
was
did they already fire Kevin Nash again from WWE?
He ain't been working in a long time.
Did it's they been, fire him though? Or is he
year.
Like.
I think he's like got one of those legends deals or something.
It's one thing. He comes back for about 2 or 3 months and they're like, yeah, we can't do anything with him. And he fucking goes back to nothing.
Well, he is 50 some years old. I mean, how much could he fucking do?
Anyway, the Twilight.
I did hear though, speaking of big fucking dumbasses, I was listening to. The Wrestling Observer radio thing. They were talking about the Great Khali had his pituitary gland removed or fixed or something, you know, that secretes mm-hmm. all the... So maybe he'll be like halfway normal by the time we see him again. Maybe he'll shrink.
Well, he still wasn't growing, was he? For the love of
yeah.
fucking God.
They said like his... well, I mean, his height and stuff wasn't growing, but his body was still growing.
He's going to explode.
The weird thing is, too, man, like, he's pretty much immobile, and he's not even, I think he might have just turned 40. That's crazy.
He's got a long life of fun ahead of him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Didn't the Big Show have that surgery done, too?
Yeah,
he
had it done
something?
Years ago,
yeah.
though. He had it done when he was a teenager, so that probably saved his life, I'd say.
You know what's not saving his life, though, is the fact that he looks like he eats about 15 double cheeseburgers with bacon every day.
Dude, he probably doesn't. But, like, he's just all... Like, somebody that's that tall like that, after they reach a certain age, there's just no way.
Man, you got to imagine, though. Eventually, here, probably in the really near future, his joints and stuff are going to be completely fucked.
I did hear something about... about Ryback. He eats, like, 4 chickens a day or something like that.
While they're alive?
Like, cause he has to have so much, like, protein and shit to keep his muscle mass, that
yeah.
and the steroids.
Yeah. No. No, he's not using steroids.
I'm actually looking forward to that Hell in a Cell, though, to see what happens, see if they actually give him the belt.
I hope not, man. That guy's just so generic. Like, I know, like, he's over and everything right now, but... God. One thing, he sucks.
Well, that would be actually completely ruining the whole Rock thing, where he's supposed to come back and face Punk at Royal Rumble, but... Whatever. So anyway, that's it for the news. What do you have over there for DVD
Let's
Blu-ray
see.
Death Relief of the baby?
For October the 23rd, we have Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. Also, Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies is coming out too from Asylum.
I actually think the asylum one's already out, Uncle Bill. That's been out a while.
Oh, good. I'm glad that's out.
They try to fool people and thinking, oh, yeah, golly, I know this is out already.
Here's another one that everybody's looking forward to. Puppet Master 10, Axis Rising.
Well, I'm definitely buying that.
And Wrong Turn 5, Bloodlines.
I wonder how many, like, sub-named Bloodlines have had in different franchises.
Wow. That's all I can really say to that.
You know, you're going to have Wrong Turn 6, Blood Dicks.
Blood Dicks. Puppet Master 10. 10 fucking Puppet Master movies. Not a one of them is worth a shit either.
Can you imagine having a Puppet Master marathon?
No.
That's not even counting Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys, I'm sure.
No, I can't imagine that. I'd rather try to stick a quarter in my dick hole than do that.
We should do like a marathon video at some time. It'd be funny. Let's watch all goddamn Puppet Master movies.
I think I'd probably pass out by the third one.
I think I'd take a fucking shotgun to my head.
And then you also have to watch Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys, too.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. I got that over here. I actually do have that.
Puppet Master versus, there's a couple other things that they verse, too.
Have you ever seen Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys?
No. I never want to either.
Corey Feldman's in it, right?
Yeah. And is that playing, a good thing or a bad thing?
What's the funny is he's playing like an old scientist in it or something. And you can see that they put fucking talcum powder and shit in his hair. Like, it's so shitty looking. Like, it looks like they made that movie for seriously like $100 or something.
All the budget went to Corey Feldman. Yeah.
So anyway, that is it for the news portion.
I really hate Full Moon, though. I don't know if people realize that, but I hate them a lot more now than I know some people that are associated with them. But
yeah.
I still hate all their movies as well. Pretty much all their movies.
The thing is, look, if you like the Full Moon movies and you understand, like, they're shitty, that's fine. Because they are shitty.
Yeah.
They are not fucking good at all. Like, nobody could ever convince me that any of those Full Moon movies are actually quality films. So you might as well just fucking shut up.
Somebody been trying to convince you that?
I'm just saying.
These are good.
Never, ever gonna happen.
So, basically, we've been doing this show for 7 years, and here in the last probably 2 years or so, we've come to the realization that all of Full Moon's films are shit, and most of Trauma's films are shit.
All of Trauma's films post-1987.
Yeah. So basically, both those companies suck my...
In all honesty, though, Trauma is basically a distributor now. They just distribute shitty independent movies. Getting your film distributed by Trauma is essentially like you just fucking going to Walmart and selling it out of the back of your fucking car. That's basically, how do they distribute shit? Where the fuck have you ever seen a Trauma movie in a store?
I don't think I ever have, really.
I don't think I ever have either. I saw some at the flea market one time.
Yeah.
That was good distribution.
I see some at conventions when Trauma shows up.
Trauma, I honestly think Trauma's the most overrated fucking company out there. Like, I would almost guarantee you their warehouse, if they have a warehouse, is like fucking two double wides put together or something.
I don't know.
Like, it's just bullshit.
There are some of their movies that I like. I can't fucking deny that fact, even though I'd like to now, but I just...
Yeah. But anyway, that's it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be taking your damn phone calls, boys, and we better hear from some motherfuckers.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear from some motherfuckers.
We'll be back. DeadPit.com.
Oi!
My Lord, what evening. Welcome to another edition of Dial H. I'm Alfred Hitchcock. On this edition, we'll be calling some of the most sophisticated rental shacks in all of Appalachia. And now, for your pleasure, Dial H.
Hey, B-Video. I want to ask about some DVDs, if y'all had them in stock. Y'all got Ghoulies 4, Ghoulies Go to College.
What?
Ghoulies 4, Ghoulies Go to College.
This is an adult store, you know.
Porno store?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
I have it.
Alright.
Here, is this a video store?
Yeah.
Now, my nephew made me a list that I'll check you guys about a couple movies.
What'd you say?
my nephews, they made me a list, said I'll check with you all about a couple of movies.
Okay.
Do you have Return of the Evil Dead 2?
Let me check.
Thanks.
We have Return of the Living Dead.
All right. Another one they put on here was Microwave Massacre.
Nope, we don't have that one either.
All right, how about Torture Camp?
Torture what?
Camp.
Torture camp. Nope, we don't have it either.
All right, then. There's one on here called, I'm trying to read this. Hillbilly Strangler.
Nope, we don't have that either.
All right, then, Nolan. Thank you.
Thank you, bye.
I was going to ask about some movies if you guys had them.
Okay.
You guys got all of the Saw movies?
I think she's got most of them.
Are you positive? Because I'm going to head out and pick one up at least.
What one do you want?
Saw 4.
Did it just come out or is it?
I believe so. I believe it just came out. I'm pretty sure. It's pretty gruesome. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I'm not
okay with. You don't like the torture movies? Those are my favorite.
Saw 3. Saw 2. Let me look up here, please.
Okay. There was a couple more I was looking for too. If you ain't got that one, I just love those torture movies, man.
I don't think we've got Saw 4. I don't see it.
Okay. You guys happen to have Hostel 2?
Is that a movie too? Older movie?
Yeah, that's another horror torture movie.
Is it a new one? Or?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one just came out. I think it came out Friday. You don't have that one either?
Uh-uh.
Murder Set Pieces is another one that I think that's been out a while though.
Right.
I was going to go pick some up because I had to buy some new hair gel and stuff anyway, so. Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, we got that one.
Oh, cool. Rad, man. How late are you guys open for?
15.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll be there. All right.
All right,
keep it bloody.
All right, bye.
Movie Gallery, this is Christina. Can I help you?
Yeah, I want to ask about some movies, if y'all got them.
Okay.
Do you all have Ghoulies 4, Ghoulies Go to College?
Have what now?
Ghoulies 4, Ghoulies Go to College.
Start with a G.
Yeah. Ghoulies.
No, we don't have that.
Okay. Do y'all have I Still Know What You Did Last Summer?
Oh,
I ain't seen that one in a while. That's pretty good.
No, we don't have that one either.
How about Schoolgirls in Chains?
No, we don't have that either.
I got one more for you. Hope y'all have this. This is Stepfather 2, Make Room for Daddy.
No, we don't have that one either.
Well, okay, baby. Good talking to you.
Okay, baby.
Hi, this is Adrienne Barbeau, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Welcome back to the programming.
Hello, it is the programming.
So this is the part where we get ready for the phone discussion.
That's right. We're going to open up the phone lines, and we actually have a new drink that we're trying. It's Cruzon aged rum mixed with orange juice. It's not too bad.
It's delicious.
I needed it to prepare for tonight.
Hey, you can do me a favor and turn this shit down. It's too loud in my eardrum.
Let's turn it down, Aaron.
There we go. That's
there we go. Is that good for
you? That's good.
That make you feel better? So let's open up the phone lines here.
Oh, my fucking Lord. I'm ready for it.
Let's see what we can get.
The first person that calls gets to get blown by you.
No, I don't blow anybody when I first hear from them. I have to know them for a little while.
At least a few calls. Uh-oh.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Mumbo jumbo doodly doo, Lord save the yeah!
Holy shit, is it Rob Zombie?
Oh, yeah! Tampa Mania,
what's up, guys? Oh, wow. That was a pretty good Rob Zombie impersonation, really. I thought it was really him.
Yeah, you got it down pretty good, man. Yeah!
Yeah!
That's really all there is to a Rob Zombie impersonation. Just go, yeah!
You got to get the yeah in. If you
about everything.
If you can't get the yeah in, you don't have it.
That's right. So how you guys doing?
Oh, we are just absolutely rolling. We're drinking rum and orange juice. It's nasty shit ever.
Hey, it ain't that bad.
You have to get drunk to get through the call-in portion.
That's pretty much the theory behind it. We're going to do drunken call-ins from now on.
Shit. So, I know Wes has seen it, but Aaron, did you get a chance to see the Hulk Hogan sex tape?
Unfortunately, yes, I did. And that will forever haunt my dreams. Okay, a couple of things about that sex tape right off the bat. Number one, his fucking tan lines were disturbing. Like he's
oh, that was the biggest thing that fucking
okay.
bothered you.
That was not the biggest thing, but it's like, it's just it. The top of his head looks like a stick of deodorant, and then it he looks like a fucking burnt hot dog everywhere else, and that's just a scary image coming at you. The other thing that frightened me was the weasel sized dong that he has that he was throwing around. And what the fuck was he talking about? Going on about? Oh, I just ate 10 minutes ago, bro. I feel like a pig. I was like, what?
I'm upset that he didn't what? Finish with the naked leg drop.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting on, too. It was like, that'd be killer.
The thing that's so funny about this is, though, a couple months ago, they were actually, like, shopping this around to, I know TMZ was one of the websites that they tried to offer this for sale. I'm like, okay, Hulk Hogan is a lot of things, but a sex symbol would not be one of them. Like, I cannot imagine, you know, who would actually want to fucking watch that.
I mean,
other than
the
fact that
whole...
it's just a... kind of like a car wreck thing or something.
The whole thing was kind of sad, though, because the whole time he just kept talking about his son and everything and wanting to get back there, and then, like, he's like, I shouldn't be doing this and all this stuff. It's just like, it's a real bummer of a fucking thing to watch anyway.
Yeah, you could tell it was like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it was like Bubba Love Sponge that supposedly done it, and I guess, like, Hogan suing Bubba for like $100 million or something like that. So
yeah, that's the last thing. That's the last thing that I heard. But you made a good point though, CK. You said, "What if they were all in on it, and like Hogan was just like in on it too? That way, they like if he gets the money, they just split it amongst everybody."
Well, yeah. I mean, that's probably true. Honestly,
that'd be a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past him to be honest, because Hogan, like you know, it's not like he's. You know, as popular as he was even 10 years ago, really. I mean, he's working for fucking TNA. That's not like that's not the best job to have if you're a pro wrestler, for sure.
No.
No shit. So, well, fellas, I'm going to jump off here because I know you guys probably got a bunch of people calling in. So
we actually do, amazingly.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you here again soon, hopefully.
All right. Later, guys.
See you, brother.
Later.
That's Dave Mania, brother. So let's go ahead. We got a bunch of other people calling. Here's a voice from the past. I know who this is. What's going on, sir?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Wow, you must be on Skype because this shit's clear as a bell right now.
Yeah, well, I bought a new headphone microphone deal, and I wanted to try it out. And just coincidentally, you guys are returning the call-ins today. And so I thought, well, that's a good opportunity to give my headset a try.
Hell yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you guys, too, so why not?
Yeah, it sounds like you're in the room with us, actually. Like,
yeah, we got Jay Real live in the Dead Pit studio.
Hey, how you guys doing? How's the pit doing these days?
Well, everybody's doing good. I think the one thing that's not doing good is the horror genre itself.
No.
We were talking about that. Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of good news or new news to talk about. You know, it's kind of hard to do a show every week when you're talking just about horror movies and stuff.
Well, you know, and looking for something to watch the other day, and I couldn't decide on something. And I don't know if this is the case with other people, but for me, when I can't find something to watch, usually the answer is Don Knotts. And so I watched The Ghost of Mr. Chicken.
Yeah.
And I found that pretty much any genre, that if you have a conundrum that you can't decide, well, what am I going to watch? You know, well, he's done a sci-fi. He did The Reluctant Astronaut. He did a Western, The Shakiest Gun in the West. And he did a romantic comedy, The Love God. So pretty much any genre you can think of, if you can't find what to watch, Don Knotts is the answer.
You know what my favorite Don Knotts movie is? And you've probably seen it, Jay. I'm sure you have. I don't know why it's my favorite, but I just remember watching it like 1,000 times. Have you ever seen Private Eyes?
Yeah, it's been a long time. I'm trying to find pretty much everything he's done, because, I mean, I'm a big Don Knotts fan. Kind of look like him, you know, in a way. I'm scrawny and kind of and nervous and all that. So I kind of relate to Don Knotts. I'm trying to find his entire repertoire, but yeah, I have seen that, but it's been ages since I've seen that.
You should have tried to be a deputy for Mahia Police Department there.
I'm not good around crowds of people, and I'm not sure how I would deal with law offenders and such as that. You know, I would just pretty much just let them go.
Probably a lot of
I'm not good with confrontations. But
probably a lot of rowdy Spaniards down there. I'm guessing.
Rowdy Spaniards.
Well, of course, the town's named after a Mexican, Mahia or Mejia, it would be good to learn Spanish to kind of get along. You know, I think you'd get along better if you learned Spanish in Mahia, but really all you need to know is Walmart and crispy fried chicken. You're good.
It's same as around here then.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm curious though, Jay, like, do you watch any horror themed television? Like, do you ever watch The Walking Dead or,
Oh yeah. My problem is I don't get AMC, and that's where all the good shit is on AMC.
Yeah,
so I have
true.
To wait for it to come out on DVD before I can watch it. But yeah, I've seen all the Walking Deads. I haven't seen the news, season because I can't see it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I got American Horror Story, the first season of that, on my Netflix queue, and I'm anxious to see that.
It's amazing.
I've heard some mixed reviews about that, but that looks like something I'd be interested in. But yeah, of course, and Tales from the Dark Side, and of course I have all the Twilight Zones, and, I grew up, that was my big thing, is watching anything that was horror related on television, so.
Yeah, I think that, so far there's only been one episode, but it is, in my opinion, the best episode of The Walking Dead. And as far as American Horror Story goes, when you watch that, you'll love it because, in my opinion, you'll love it because it's like probably was at that time the best horror themed show on television. This year's completely fucking insane, but at that time it was really, really good.
Well, that's good they have it on Netflix. I didn't know that, so I can actually watch it too, so I'll have to check it out.
Well, I know The Walking Dead is. Now, I don't know. I'm pretty sure The Walking Dead is. I'm not sure about American Horror Story. Is that on?
I thought that's what you were saying. I didn't know.
No. I what did I say about Netflix? Oh yeah, American. Well, it's. I'm getting the disc. You know, I know that's an ancient concept, but yeah. I've got the my damn broadband connection is usually so terrible that a lot of times I can't see the instant, so I'll still get the one disc at a time and watch them that way,
Yeah.
Another thing we got to bring up though, and I know you don't have anything, you don't know a lot about this other than what you've heard though, but is that Chester Grimm is back?
I've noticed this.
Yeah.
A long hiatus.
And the rumor has it, and of course, I'm a friend with Ray Boucher, so, he is very closely, related to that series. He does a lot of the editing for them. He does a lot of the writing for them, and he's helping putting together the second episode. So, keep an eye out for that. episodes are actually being shot together. Episode 1 and 2 of the revamp or the relaunch or whatever you want to call it was shot together, and I think 3 and 4 will be done that way. So hopefully those will be able to come out more regularly, you know. And, you know, there's been some talk with Patrick Ray and with Strebo, who does, of course, Patrick Ray is one of the best there is as far as, the short films. And of course, he's hit the big time pretty much.
Yeah.
But there's a possibility that they may be providing some content to the show and stuff. So, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing, too. Yeah. I mean, Patrick Ray, as we've said like a million different times, is probably one of the best independent filmmakers, probably the best independent filmmaker we know.
The only thing about Patrick Ray is it's different, and it's refreshing to us, but he should probably have an ego, but he doesn't. Like, he's just a regular, you know, most of these independent filmmakers, they've got like an ego, the size of Texas, your home state. But like,
well, in his case, he actually has a reason to brag. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He's won Emmys. He's won, I think they call regional Emmys. He direct a comedy special like on Showtime or HBO or something like that?
He's actually
done some stuff that makes money and has a reason to actually, to brag about what he does. But he doesn't, like you say.
Right.
Yeah, I would love to see that, though. Like, a big combination of you guys all coming together and doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I say, really, keep an eye out for those Chester Grimm shows. Like I say, I do what I can to keep up with the ongoing production and such as that, you know.
Do you know when Chester Grimm versus the Aztec Mummy is coming out, though? That's the one I'm waiting on.
No. I know that, speaking of Ray, that he's a big fan of that Aztec Mummy and old films like that. So you never know, you know. Mm. And they've been dealing mainly with the public domain kind of films and stuff like that, and that's going to continue. But it's great that, like I say, films from Patrick Ray and Strebo and folks like that, they're actually doing some, some of their own stuff. Hopefully they'll be, if the show continues, that they'll be, shown. And that's kind of a call out to other people that may have some, independent stuff that they make and provide, I know those people, so you can message me and I'll send a message on.
Cool. Well, buddy, we appreciate you calling for sure, and we're going to take some more phone calls, but we'll stay tuned for the Chester Grimm's mausoleum and anything else you may have up your sleeve.
Well, he doesn't have it, but he knows
your buddies have up their sleeve.
Yeah.
Well, like I say, it's I know a lot of work goes into their shows, a lot of them, and I keep bringing back Ray's work, but he, those hilarious Red Marmoset commercials and things like that, and of course, pretty much the whole show, he puts that together, so it'd be great if people actually see those shows, so the more the better, and I certainly appreciate you guys for spreading the word, and y'all have a good one.
No problem at all.
Take care, Jay.
See you.
Okay, bye-bye.
If people want to check those out, those are on the Dead Pit YouTube page. You
and
can
you
check
definitely
those
should
out.
Check them out.
Yeah, yeah, they do put a lot of work in those shows.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
What's up, Turd Nuggets?
Uh-oh, it's a lady.
Let's see.
It is a lady.
Who?
It's Lydia.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God, baby. What's going on?
Blast from past.
That's right. I think the last time we talked to you was a very memorable.
It's one of the best calls ever, I think.
Yeah, I think it was.
I'm glad you guys remember it.
Well, a lot of people remembered. I think it was on the Best Of show, one of the Best Of shows that we did a couple years
ago.
Yeah,
I was pretty trashed.
You mean tell me you weren't sober in that call? I don't believe that.
Oh, I know. So, anyways, I have two things for you guys.
Okay.
One, when are you guys going to bring your asses down to Texas Frightmare? And two, I want to know what you guys think of the leaked Evil Dead trailer for the new remake.
Uncle Bill still hasn't seen the trailer.
I haven't.
Oh.
But
okay.
I've actually seen it. I think that, for what, I don't know how you can really judge the movie by what they've shown, but it didn't look horrible, I'll say that.
Yeah, that was our reaction, too, when we saw it. Like, we were just waiting for it to be shitty, and, from what I saw, I was like, it actually looks like it could be decent, but, I mean, trailers can be deceiving, but it didn't look terrible, you're right. So,
Uncle Bill, what about Texas Frightmare, buddy?
Well, here's the thing. Actually, probably sooner than one would think, and for a couple of different reasons, I think that. Number one, the guy that runs that, Lloyd Cryer, is actually one of the best promoters that I know of, and I'm probably one of the, like, the nicest guys of the people that promote conventions, for sure. But the other thing I keep thinking is that we know somebody that has, like, a camper now. So the possibility of being able to do that would be contingent on, that drive would be like, what, 18 or 19 hours if we were to drive down there?
Yeah, close to that.
Yeah, so we had, Jesus Christ, we'd have to have something, because there ain't no way I'm going to fly because of my fear of death, but, yeah.
Yeah, plus,
you're afraid to fly?
I don't like to fly. Yeah, I'd say it borders on fear.
Yeah, but
just take a chocolate-covered Loratab and you'll be fine.
That's
we
true.
Had some of those at Jenny Wally Festival last weekend.
Nowadays, they just sell them and crushed up in pixie sticks. You just snort them right out of the pixie stick thing.
Yeah, we had Lord some deep-fried Suboxone strips, too. Hey, Lydia, have you ever tried those?
What?
Deep-fried Suboxone strips.
No, are you going to bring some down to Texas with you when you come?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys get your asses down here, I will promise you chocolate-covered Loratabs and hookers.
Holy shit.
Hell yeah.
We got to do that.
Well, we've got to go. That's
I hope be. I hope male hookers are okay.
Honestly,
though.
Like, if I could pick... if
it
I
will
could,
be for him.
If I could pick any show, though, like, that would be the one that I would go to, like, far away.
Yeah,
I
mean, me too.
There's so many people that we know that attend that show every year, and just always seems like a fun show.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun, and I mean, eventually I will make it out to Kentucky. It just seems like a lot of things keep popping up.
No, you won't.
Bullshit.
I will eventually, I promise. I'll try again next year, I will.
I want you to pinky swear.
Pinky swear? Yeah, I could do that.
Okay.
Pinky in your butthole?
He'd probably love that. Listen, you do know, though, that we're getting ready to screen like a 35mm print of Halloween down here at the theater here, right?
Sort
that would have been an excellent time
deal.
For you to come in.
This year?
Yeah, like in 2 weeks.
Oh, I wish I could make it to that. I honestly probably won't be able to make it until the convention next year.
Well, fine. Then.
Well, be that way,
buddy. It's a pretty good chance. I'll say about a 60% chance that I can make it next year.
Well, we'll promise you some of them deep-fried Suboxone strips, and then that'll bite up the ante a little bit, up the percentage.
All right, that sounds good. And, yeah, sorry I'm not as hilarious this time. I'm super sober. I'm just now sitting down to a bottle of wine, so...
Well, I'm actually proud of you.
You caught me on the early end of it.
I really don't think anybody could have gotten any more fucked up than you were the last time that you called.
Well, we're working
proud
on it, though. Well,
it was the job I was at. You know, I was working at the club, and, you know, all you do is drink and everything. So.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably have to get a little bit of buzzed.
You kind of have to, to deal with the douchiness of it all.
So, but I'm glad
those days are long over.
I'm glad that you called. That's going to make me feel special always when a female called in the show.
Oh, you should feel special.
I know.
Always.
Yeah,
special
I am.
Ed. He is special.
You're very special.
So.
All right, guys. Well, I hope to see you next year, either in Texas or Kentucky. We're really going to try to make, I know I always say that, but.
All right, well, wherever we meet, we'll make the... occasion very memorable. How about that?
I don't even want to know what happened. So many things are just running through my head right now, and they're all bad.
Okay, think a tater sack and a 2x4. That's all you need to know.
I'll just make sure I'm drunk for whatever it is.
Everybody will be drunk. But you take care, and we'll talk to you here hopefully soon. Again, we'll do these call-ins more often.
All right, guys. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, God, I feel fucking good now.
That's got you souped up moist.
I got to talk to a lady.
Let's see who else is calling.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Tara Williams. I'm from Virginia, and I'm one of Dylan Barnett's friends.
You're whose friend?
Dylan Barnett.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, so what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing?
We're doing fine. We're just taking phone calls. You got anything you want to talk about on here?
Yeah. I love horror movies. And I'm wondering, is Hollywood ever going to come up with a new idea for a horror movie.
No.
That's insane to me.
That's funny.
I can answer that real quick.
We were just talking about that, and the answer is pretty much unequivocally no. They're just going to keep making remakes, and we've talked about like three different remakes that they're making right now. Carrie remake, the Evil Dead remake, and the Texas Chainsaw 3D bullshit remake or whatever too. So no, they're not making anything. They're just remaking every fucking thing from the 80s apparently.
Oh, thanks, man. It's been a privilege, man.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Well, that was short and sweet.
That's the only question you want to know. So let's see who else is on her. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio.
Oh, mama!
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, who's this?
Oh, it's Slippy.
Hey.
Oh, my God.
What's going on, Slippy? We're going to have an impromptu mic check. Hit the music. No. What's going on?
Oh, I actually thought I was calling Domino's. sorry about that.
May I take your order, sir?
I was just celebrating Detroit getting into the World Series.
Oh, shit. Did I get in the World Series?
Yep. He beat the Yankees tonight 8-1.
Finally, something good to come out of Detroit. Well, that's good.
Yeah, you can thank Derek Jeter for getting injured.
No, I'm not going to thank anybody for getting injured.
Thank you, buddy.
That'd be a real dick move on my part, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But that's just how I am, so I have no shame. So,
that just translates.
So I've got one thing to ask you though. What's the two movies that Shout Factory is going to announce tomorrow?
I knew that was coming.
I don't know. I don't know what I forgot to ask what they were this week.
You can tell us. Nobody's listening. We'll keep it private.
Yeah, go through a list right here of all the stuff that you're working on. We'll just.
I don't know.
It'll be one of those.
I don't. It could be. Maybe not. I don't know.
Hold on 1 second. We're going to turn this off, then you can tell us.
Okay. I heard a rumor.
No, I don't know what it is. I'm not being coy. I didn't ask.
Okay.
We turned it off. You can tell us now if you want to.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, it's the Munchies entire series on Blu-ray.
Woo!
I knew it!
Woo!
Oh.
Yeah. I think.
Except for the original. We're not doing the original.
I wouldn't blame you for that, really.
Yeah, but the thing is like Shout Factory, like I don't know how in the hell they're going to keep this up because it seems like every week they're announcing at least one or two titles that people are just going apeshit for. So,
well, there's a lot of titles that are coming out next year, so I mean, I think they're going to keep this up through the holidays or something like that. I don't really know how long they're going to keep doing this, but it seems to be getting people pretty excited, which is great.
Here's what I want to know, Slippy. Here's my question to you. Have you seen the Evil Dead remake trailer thing yet?
Yeah, I did see the little bootleg they posted.
What are your thoughts?
You know, it looks all right. I mean, I'm not one of those people that's just like fuck all remakes, and I'm kind of tired of people who are just like, this is a remake, it's going to suck, blah blah blah. Yeah, okay, it might suck, but. What I do like about what I'm seeing is it looks like they haven't bothered to, it's pretty much the kids in the house and evil shit happens to them. They didn't recast Ash. They didn't bring those characters back. And it looks like it's gory as all hell. I mean, I don't know. I'll give it a shot. I hope it's good. I mean, there's no upside to it being shitty.
Well, the thing I was thinking too is that was probably a smart move of them not to try to recast Ash because that's kind of like what they did with Robert Englund in the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. There's certain characters that you should just forget about even trying to duplicate.
Yeah, and I mean, Ash from the first Evil Dead really wasn't Ash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't become sort of the smart-ass Bruce Campbell that we all know and love until Evil Dead 2, and that was really, really kind of, you know, sealed with the Ash that we got in Army of Darkness. The first one, he's just the guy who ends up at the end.
Yeah.
He's just sort of the one, it was sort of weird because he comes off as the most ineffectual of all the people in the cabin, and he ends up being the one that ends up surviving all the way to the end. So, you know, I can see why they were like, why are we going to re-bother trying to reinterpret that character? We can just do something fresh. But I don't know. I thought it looked pretty good.
I don't know if people really realize, though, if you go back and watch the original Evil Dead, just how kind of awkward and, stilted, I guess would be a word for like Bruce Campbell's performance in that movie. Like he really wasn't the, like you said, the Ash that like people remember go on about now. It was kind of like just a B movie performance, like a portrayal.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I love the original Evil Dead, but you know, these were all new actors. They were all no one was going to get an Oscar for anything they did in that. And I'm not saying that to insult anybody, but it was what it was. I mean, they had a. It was just a. You talk about an independent horror movie made for little money with a bunch of inexperienced film actors. I mean, it was but it caught something and it captured something really special. And I think all those guys are great in the film, but at the same time, it wasn't like Freddy with Robert Englund. It wasn't like I don't think it was a matter of why are we going to bother recapping Scotty and Cheryl.
Yeah.
Let's do something different and let's not be so beholden to the original that we have to recast those parts. I think that was, and also it just eliminates the problem right off the bat. Whoever steps in the ash doesn't have to get compared to Bruce Campbell in any way. They can just do something different and just say, okay, fuck it, it's its own thing. But from what I saw, I mean, it looked pretty entertaining. I mean, I hope, like I said, I hope it's good. It's not like anybody's gonna win anything if it sucks. I hope that is good.
So. I think that, the fact that, like, Evil Dead's a cult movie and it's not something that's really known nationwide as far as, everybody knows what the hell Evil Dead is. So I think that in this instance, they have to actually make a good movie to get people to go out to it. The name alone isn't gonna get people to go out and see it.
And I like the fact that they're really treating it as a hardcore horror film because the first Evil Dead, out of all of the three Evil Dead films, is mostly a horror film with some the fact that it goes so over the top is what makes it funny.
Right.
So this one, it looks like they do a very hardcore, very bloody film at times. I mean, if anything you got from the trailer, it's like, this is not going to be a PG-13 movie. And that I appreciate. Because the original Evil Dead was not intended to be a goofy Three Stooges type of thing. So
right.
I'm actually impressed that this is the direction that they're going with it. And if it's going to, again, if you're going to do a remake, guys, take the idea, come up with your own approach to it, your own vision for it, and swing for the fucking fences. And if you end up striking out, fine, but at least you tried.
Right.
And this looks like they really gave it another shot. So I'm looking forward to it as much as I'm looking forward to any film that has the potential to be scary and at least somewhat original and fun. And it looks promising. What I saw looked very promising.
Okay, I want you to do me a favor, Sleepy. Rank these upcoming remakes in your order of excitement about the remake.
One to what?
Well, what's the scale?
One to 10.
Yeah, we're talking about you just put them in order in terms of like the one you're looking forward to the most being the first one, and then going down from there. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so you got the Carrie remake, Texas Chainsaw 3D, the Evil Dead remake, and what's another one? What's the one that came out recently, like a remake? Is that the big three?
Yeah, I think that's it. Okay. I mean, that's the only ones I can think of.
Well, I would say Evil Dead's at the top.
Okay.
Especially now after having seen the trailer. I would put Carrie second because I do think they've got some really good people involved in that. And I would put Chainsaw at the bottom because, that first trailer didn't do much for me. And I don't know, I'm not a 3D guy, so I don't care about that. But I'm encouraged by the fact that there's going to be a lot of connections to the first movie and they've got Bill Moseley and Gunner in there and everything. So, I'm not really not looking forward to that. It's just that I don't have a real good feel on that one way or the other at this point. Well, but with Carrie, the director's very accomplished. I really am a fan of Chloe Moritz, who's playing Carrie.
Right.
And Julianne Moore is great. So that one has a real good potential. And I like the teaser that they did.
Now, is Julianne Moore doing is she doing the popper? Yeah, she's doing the popper.
Yeah, she's doing the popper. I'm sure she's going to knock that out of the park. That has a good pedigree. But Evil Dead, for me, I think out of the three, is the one I'm probably looking forward to the most because it looks like it's just going to be sort of ball to the wall kind of horror and a lot of fun. So I'm hoping that one. Yeah, that's where I'd go.
I was going to ask you about another movie though. I'm just curious if you think this is going to get a widescreen theatrical run, just because I haven't seen really Anchor Bay Films release anything that widescreen or I mean that wide as far as, you know, nationwide, The Lords of Salem, do you see that movie getting like a huge nationwide release, or is that going to be something that's more limited, do you think?
Well, I think by the very nature of what Anchor Bay Films does with their titles is they do a limited rollout, and they may treat it as more of an art house kind of thing. But then again, I don't know. Maybe they're going to use this as an opportunity to kind of really, if they're going to step up and do a nationwide release, maybe they're going to do that with Lords of Salem. Although it's funny, the feedback I've been getting from people who have seen Lords of Salem, and most of the people I've talked to who have seen it have liked it quite a bit. They're saying that this is by far the most esoteric and just sort of offbeat of all of Zombie's films, and it's very much like his take on a Jodorowsky film.
Yeah,
it's very, it's not linear, it's not something that's going to make a lot of sense plot-wise, but it just got a lot of really amazing imagery and some really solid performances in it. So I don't know if this is necessarily the film that they would want to bet on with a nationwide release, because I don't think this is necessarily a mass audience appeal type of film. So my guess is that they're probably going to play it more like an art house thing, or maybe do a lot of midnight show kind of stuff with it and do something like that. I don't know how, but then again, that's just my spitballing on what they would do. And I just think it's funny that they acquired this, because back when I was with Anchor Bay, they came this close to buying House of a Thousand Corpses. And they decided at the time not to do it because they weren't sure if it was worth the money. They weren't set up to really handle a theatrical. We had never done a theatrical back in those days. So we passed on House of a Thousand Corpses. So now it's funny, the first time they get a chance to know the Rob Zombie movie, they're like, well, we're not going to make that mistake again.
Right.
But then again, it was a completely different company back then. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it
is. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do with that. It would be interesting to see. But I would, a 3,000 screen release across the country, that would kind of surprise me on that one.
Right.
From watching that trailer and everything I hear about the film, I really don't see that being like a big theater type of movie. I see them doing that.
I think it's going to play very well in limited engagements with the audiences it's going for. I'm looking forward to it. But at the same time, this one would not be the one. This is not a Paranormal Activity. This is not a Saw. This is something very, an auteur kind of statement from Zombie, which is great. I'm glad to see him doing something like this rather than another fucking Halloween movie.
Yeah.
So it's, it's definitely not going to be something that every, people in all across the country are going to go to at 7 o'clock on Saturday.
Why do I get the feeling that after Halloween 2, he was just sitting somewhere and he was like, well, fuck this.
I wouldn't blame him. I mean, at that point, I think he probably was just like, again, I can't speak for Rob Zombie. I don't know the man. I have no idea. But it was just funny that, he did Halloween and he was successful with it, but he got a lot of shit for it. He does Halloween 2. It doesn't do as well. He still gets a lot of shit for it. So at some point, I do wonder if with Lords of Salem, he said, well, fuck it. If I'm just going to end up pissing people off, I'd rather just piss people off with my own stuff and not bring in the burden of expectations and remakes and all that other stuff on. Because I think he's proven he can do his own material and his own stuff very well. So I don't think he needs to rely on doing remakes and reinterpreting other people's material. And this one, from all I can gather, is there's no redneck families arguing and swearing at each other in this one. And
well, I like that.
I admire the guy. I think he's definitely trying something new and different, and, I hope it works. I really do. I want to see it.
Well, we're going to try to take some more phone calls, but you're coming to the Whorehound, aren't you? You're always there, so we'll see you here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, definitely going to be at Whorehound. Yeah, definitely. I'll be there in about a month or so, I guess.
Yeah.
And you're coming to our Halloween screening we're having down here at the Strand, right?
No.
Well, damn you. Damn it. We are actually having in December, Silent Night, Deadly Night in 35mm as well. So
now, is that going to be the uncut version?
I have no clue. Probably not. I don't.
Yes, yes, it is.
Well, we could mark it as the uncut version. That's
we're
going to
say that it is, yeah.
Did you know that Anchor Bay is actually re-releasing that double feature?
No, I need to sell mine quickly then.
You probably should.
Yeah, I'm going to do it now before the word gets out.
It's actually, I think his is actually signed, though. You can't sell it. But,
I did not know
there
that.
There you go, folks. Sell all your copies now. You got the inside
scoop. Yeah, so Eric Friedman will be back in print. Thank God.
Maybe they'll do the Blu-ray this time. Yeah.
He's been gone for far too long.
No, they're not. They're just doing the DVD. They're not doing a Blu-ray. Unfortunately.
I'll still get it. I've got to get it.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, you take it easy, and we'll see you here in a few weeks.
All right. Thanks very much, and sorry I misdialed. I was really going for pizza.
That's fine.
Domino's will be open for a little while longer.
Yeah, while you were here, I'm glad you could stay around and talk for a little while.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I really enjoy talking to you guys, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I got to go.
Bye.
Bye.
I cut him off that time, buddy. Fuck you. And Domino's. So we've had a ton of people calling in, so let's go ahead and see who else we got here, Uncle Bill.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who might this be?
Oh, it's Jason.
Which Jason?
I'm known as Moose McLean on the boards.
Hell yeah, I thought you were Jason Voorhees there for a minute.
No, it's actually my first time calling in.
Well, I appreciate you calling. What's going on tonight?
Not much, man. Want to get y'all's opinion on some stuff.
Okay.
I don't know. You haven't really touched much on the show as far as, like, the extreme aspect of horror, I guess. Like, I don't know if y'all seen a Serbian film or, the Guinea Pig movies or anything like that.
Yeah. Well... we haven't, I don't think either one of us has seen a Serbian film. We have seen like all of the August Underground films, and we've seen the Guinea Pig series.
Yeah, the Guinea Pig movies years ago we watched those.
Which I actually thought those were really, really well done and kind of like disturbing, like on a whole other level.
That's kind of like, cause I've kind of gone out of my element, I guess, and I got kind of bored with a lot of the standard horror stuff, and I started dabbling in the more extreme, and I started with a Serbian film, which is apparently, according to a lot of people, you know, on a lot of different, like, you know, message boards and, you know, forums and stuff, it seemed like something, you know, you wouldn't start with in that aspect, but I went with that, and it just really, it was a well-made film. But it just really, I don't know, like it didn't live up to the hype that it's you know, received. And honestly, Martyrs was a more frightening film than that. Like,
oh, yeah. We love Martyrs. I mean, I think we both loved it.
Yeah, that was a pretty extreme movie for sure.
Hey, the thing about Martyrs as opposed to, like, let's say something like the Guinea Pig series or the August Underground series, seemed to me like that film had much more of a vision for what they wanted to do. It wasn't just like, let's hold a fucking camera while we get the special effects guy to do the most gruesome shit possible that we can think of. It seemed like it actually had a point and maybe like a purpose behind it too.
Yeah, I guess like the whole like last 20 minutes of that movie is just like, it's so fucking hard to watch. And I don't know, it's those type of movies, like I guess a Serbian film and Martyrs is different in the aspect of like August Underground or the Guinea Pig stuff, where it's basically just, you know, somebody in a room just being fucking, you know, mutilated and tortured to death.
And there's all kinds
after,
of movies like that.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is with that is how much further can you fucking go? I mean, that's the deal. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can only do so much of that before it doesn't work. You know, how much can you shock the audience, I guess?
Exactly. And that's one thing I was kind of wondering is, you know, I've watched a ton of reaction videos to, especially like all the Mortem and some of the guinea pig scenes. And it's just like some of these like younger generation is like almost not fazed by it. So like, what's it going to take?
I don't know.
But, I mean, the thing that gets me is, like, that's the same crowd that goes and watches all these, like, newer films that are being put out in theaters, and they thrive on jump scares.
Yeah.
Maybe we've got the wrong idea, though, for an independent movie. We're talking about maybe making our own independent movie. Maybe we should go the brutal route. I mean, maybe we can make a movie with Uncle Bill, and Uncle Bill is the Dick Eater.
I don't think I want to make that movie.
You're a serial killer, but hey, you kill your victims, you just eat their dick.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to do that or not.
You put a little paprika on it and get down.
I'm surprised somebody hadn't made that yet.
Fred Vogel, well, Dick Eater.
One thing I was wanting to know, like, I was wondering if y'all, if you had any interest in going to see Sinister.
I have, actually.
I
went and saw it, and honestly, like, I was skeptical, because I went and saw a screening of it before it was actually released. And I went into it, and I was really skeptical, because all I saw was, like, a bare-bones trailer of it. And that's all I knew. I didn't read the synopsis of it at all. And I came out of it, and I was really impressed.
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that they were really surprised by the film, that they thought it was really good. Every time I watch, like, the trailer, it reminds me of one of those movies like The Ring or something. Like, it's got that look about it or something. I don't know what it is. And I don't know. I was never a giant fan of movies like The Ring or The Grudge or fucking whatever, the Phone Booth or whatever ones we used to watch.
Yeah, it is. I will say it does cash in on a lot of the, it's got a good deal of jump scares in it, but the way it's put together, and I will say that the thing that really makes that movie is the score of it. I think Christopher Young did it, and it is.
Oh wow!
I mean, it really, it really is effective.
I didn't know he did the score though.
That's cool.
Yeah,
and. The acting is actually really believable in it, and a lot of people, from what I've read, they kind of put it over as in, it's like Insidious, and I wasn't really a huge fan of that movie. Just, I think the CG for Insidious really got turned me off to it, but this really, it doesn't have much CG in it at all.
Well, that's always a plus for me. We may have to check that out, though.
I was telling you, buddy.
Yeah.
It plays like, it's got a ton of like, awesome atmosphere to it, too. Like, that's what I was really about.
Yeah, well, definitely. We should do an On the Road for that sometime here shortly. But, buddy, we appreciate you calling. Definitely, we're going to try to start taking these more often, hopefully, because it seems to be going over a little better than past shows, so we'll hear from you again soon.
All right, man.
All right.
All right, sir.
Take it easy. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye.
So we still have a ton of fucking
people. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
No, mama.
This T-shirt Joe, motherfucker.
Oh, shit on me.
Oh, the lady.
Skip a whole brethren.
What's going on, buddy? You be proud of us. We're a little bit buzzed doing the call-ins, or at least I am.
Why are you?
Yeah.
I'm drinking a beer myself.
We're drinking Cruzan aged rum and orange juice.
This is Breakfast of Champions right there.
Troubles. I actually kind of like that drink. I just made it up, and it's probably a real drink of some sort.
Yeah, it tastes like
good.
Ass.
It's good. God damn it, it ain't that bad.
But it'll get you drunk. So anyway,
that's what you drink for, right? To get drunk?
I'm certainly not drinking this shit for the taste.
I enjoy it. I think it tastes yummy.
I'm sure you do. What's going on, Joe?
I had a question for you guys. One of the things that really, that I fucking despise about horror is the fucking musicals that they make of movies, like Evil Dead, the musical, or shit, there's a few other ones floating around, too, that I...
Yeah.
It escapes me. I think that shit's just really fucking stupid. And I was wondering what you guys thought of it.
I actually completely agree with you. I'll take it one step further. The one thing I hate worse than anything in fucking life is movies like Repo, the Genetic Opera. Like, that type of shit where they try to actually make a musical horror film. They should.
Yeah, that movie was fucking horrid.
They should never, ever fucking do that again. Please.
But they make these movies for the gay horror fans out there, like Metal Man, right?
Like Metal Man, yeah, I agree. But he is the face of gay horror.
Yeah.
You just hardly see his face because it's always buried in some dude's ass.
Yeah.
That's another topic.
If they had a musical where instead of getting splattered by blood, you got splattered by semen, he'd be there in the front row.
Yeah, It'd be,
oh, yeah, yeah. He'd be in the splash zone like Gallagher.
There's another one, though. I remember they were going to, I don't know if they did or not, they're going to Reanimator, the musical. Do you remember that?
I don't think they did that yet.
Yes, yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so there were several of them that they thought about.
Well, Night of Living Dead, the musical, that was one. And
right, they write fucking horrible songs with horrible lyrics that, I don't know.
Well, another one was,
you're right, there's like a community that just jumps on that. It's not necessarily the gay community. I just think it's the dumb fuck community that fucking champions it.
What about Poltergeist was another one that was kind of
a musical. Didn't they do a Toxic Avenger musical? I think they did.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. You're right. Yeah.
But fucking Lloyd Kaufman will do anything if he thinks it'll get him any kind of attention, so that doesn't surprise
me. Oh, well, any kind of money, you know, even if it's quick cash.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of, his well has run dry, so he's just doing whatever he can to make a buck nowadays.
Yeah, Poltergeist was fucking horrible, and like, people were putting that over like it's the best thing that Troma's done in forever, and it was just shit.
I'd love to know who thought that was the best thing.
There's all kinds of people, though, is the thing. Like, I'm wondering, like, what in the fuck do these people not like if they enjoyed fucking Poltergeist and fucking the trailer for Texas Chainsaw 3D, which is, fuck, whatever.
No, I haven't seen that trailer.
Joe,
I saw the Evil Dead trailer, and, you know, it looks like the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, that's okay, but, you know, it's kind of pointless.
Are you at all upset about the fact that you live in Texas and you have to endure all these shitty Texas Chainsaw Massacre remakes?
No, because, you know, Texas is so big, we don't give a fuck about any of that.
I don't think any of these movies... I don't think any of them are actually made in Texas anymore, though.
Oh, I'm sure not that.
No, they're not. They're done in some soundstage in fucking Albania or something.
I'm just talking about the fact that the word Texas is in the title of a movie that sucks dick.
Yeah, that's true. And there's been several of those ever since, you know, the Texas Chainsaw The Beginning, which I fucking endured in the theater.
Yeah,
that was fucking... I don't know, man.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, of course we will wait and see, but I pretty much already know what we'll see, and it's shit.
Yeah,
so
that'll be about it.
Yeah, but I did like the poster where he's wearing the coach's pants. You know, he's got them pulled up over his belly button. That's kind of funny.
Did you see the picture of him wearing the derby hat yet?
Yeah.
God.
And he's like fucking skinnier than Aaron too.
Oh,
like
God.
The other face is like fucking, you know, 120 pounds now or something.
So, Halloween, one of the things that's real big is haunted houses. They're all over the place.
You know,
but these are, like, a lot of guys throwing them on. You know, some of them are good, some city. Did you guys ever go to one that you were just, like, really, really impressed with?
You mean, like, a haunted house that somebody just threw up, or, like, a chain of haunted houses that people do?
Well, either or.
Yeah. The only one that I can ever remember being worth the fuck, and we just went to one, Jess and I did, like, last year we went to one that's like a Ripley's chain of, like, haunted houses, and that one was fucking awful. The only one I ever thought was worth a damn is there was one in Florida that I went to in Orlando, but I can't remember the name of it now, but it was one of the ones where you walk through it and people jump out at you, and they've got the setups of all the different kind of scenes, like the, you know, the slaughterhouse and the Freddy tunnel shit and all that kind of different stuff. And it was the only one where I was ever, like, actually impressed by how much work went into it. All the rest of them, I'm just like, wow, this is really fucking kind of lame.
In San Antonio, it's the same thing. They had the Ripley's out there. You know, they have it, like, right next door to their wax museum or whatever. My daughter was 7 years old, and we were walking by it, and she said, "Hey, Dad, I want to do that." And it kind of, like, threw me off. I was like, really? You want to go in there? I mean, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. I was kind of proud of her. So we went in. I bought our tickets. And she said, "Dad, I didn't want to go in the haunted house. I just wanted to get my face painted." And I looked at the side, and they were just painting faces. So, well, tough shit. I just paid 20 bucks for these tickets. So we're going in. She fucking screamed her head off the whole way.
That's
awesome. It was just fucking crazy. You know, and it's kind of shitty as a parent to do that to your kid, but now she talks about it with fond memories. Like, she, you know, she, like, that's the scariest she's ever been.
Well, yeah.
In In Lexington, Louisville this time of year, though, that kind of thing is huge.
Yeah, they got something that everybody goes to that is supposed to be really, really popular. It's Baxter Avenue Morgue or something like that.
Yeah, and they have, like, the Wicked World Scaregrounds in Lexington.
Waverly Hills in Louisville is real popular.
I mean, it's they have them everywhere. Like, there's a couple girls that we know that's going, I think, this weekend, and that's all they're doing is going to different haunted attractions and stuff like that. So it's become quite the business, probably everywhere, I'm guessing, if it's here.
Oh, yeah, it's huge. I was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and they had just opened the Eli Roth has opened one out there that's going on like 24/7, like all year. But, you know, when I looked at the stats on it, because they spent millions of bucks on this thing, so I figured it's got to be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
But it was $60 a ticket,
God.
And when you read in, it's like 20 minutes. It's a 20-minute walkthrough. I was like, no fucking way am I spending $60 for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that thing's going to survive or, you know, they better be insured up the ass for loss because I don't see it making it at that price anyway.
Did you say it was in Vegas, though?
Yeah, it's in Vegas. It's right on the Strip.
Yeah, nah, they'll probably do okay in Vegas. People that go to Vegas are just there to spend money, so.
Yeah. Well, I was there to spend money, but I wasn't going to spend that kind of money.
Just the fact that it has Eli Roth's name in it makes me not want to go into it anyway.
Eli Roth's gore story, or what do I don't know.
Goratorium.
The
there you go. It's called the Goratorium.
Oh, there it is. Yep.
Fucking Eli Roth bullshit. God.
I will say, though, that the one good thing about haunted houses around here is there's an actual threat of death from a bunch of dumbasses that don't know what they're doing.
Right. So that's true.
Yeah. That's an added bonus.
We're going to murder you in here.
Well, down here, we've had people kill themselves setting that up. Like, they try to rig something up where they're hanging, and they actually hang themselves.
I'm sorry. So.
That's awesome.
That's not funny, but it is.
Oh, it's real fucking funny.
Maybe that's not the best idea. Oh.
So, Joe, are you...
No, probably not.
Are you going to make any more, like, Kentucky appearances, or have you given up on, like, the convention scene out here?
Well, it's not out there. I'm just being very, very selective with any show that I do because, honestly, the convention scene is really in the shitter right now. There's too many of them. There's maybe three a week in different places, and it's bad for everybody. It's bad for the promoters. It's bad for the vendors. It's bad for even the celebrities.
Yeah,
so right
sure.
Now what I'm trying to do is find places that I've never been. Like the last one that I did in Sacramento, I used it as a vacation. I knew it was going to be a lousy show. I knew I was probably not going to make any money, which I didn't. I just broke even. But I got to go, you know, check out California. I got to spend a day wandering around San Francisco and went to Tahoe after that. So that's the way I'm planning my shit from now on.
Oh.
Yeah, that's actually because a great idea. Like, if you look at it like that.
Yeah, we were...
Yeah, because I'd say, you know... After this year and next year, all of these are going to crash, and the good ones are going to survive. The good ones are going to make it.
Yeah, and there's very few good ones that actually make any.
I mean, the thing is like, and we talk about this all the time with Ken Daniels from Fright Night and stuff. It's like whenever we started going to Fright Night, that was just in 2000. What year was that? 2006.
Yeah.
That was it. There was nothing else around here at all. Like, we were shocked mm-hmm. that there was something, and it was really, really small then, too.
Now you got fucking Mad Monster Party in North Carolina, Scarefest in Lexington.
Everywhere.
Fright Night in Louisville, yeah. Fucking Dead Winter Con in London, Kentucky. London, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, shit.
You know, and I like Scarefest. I've always done well at the show. I would have loved to have gone. It just, you know, didn't work out for me. And the same thing with Fright Night, which is the first show that I traveled for. I love going to that show because I get to party with everybody. You know, everybody that's from Kentucky or that travels in, you know, close
yeah.
from Kentucky. You know, it's a good time. It's just I've got to look at can I afford it?
You got to look out for number one, don't you?
Right. No, I do. I mean, if I'm going to lose money, I've got to be prepared a couple of months ahead of time to lose money. You know, I've got to save. You know, this a lot of vendors don't do that. You know, if you see a lot of vendors bitching and moaning, oh, you know, nobody's selling shit, nobody's, you know, this show's poorly managed, you're never guaranteed to make money.
Right.
And it's a fucking roll of the dice of every show. You know, so, you know, to throw blame at this person, that person, that's fucking stupid, too.
Right.
I agree. I really do. I really do get tired of, like, it seems like every show I've ever been to, there'll be vendors bitching. No matter what it's like at that show, it'll be something, mm-hmm. something or another they'll be going on about.
But hopefully we'll get to hang out again at a show here in the near future. I know Lydia, the horror queen, called earlier. We got to talk to her again for the first time in like two or 3 years.
Awesome.
You know, we tried to sweeten a deal with some deep fried Suboxone strips for her. So maybe we'll throw in some cases of some Shiner for you or something. Maybe that'd work.
Well, I'm also hoping you guys finally make it down to Texas for Texas Frightmare Weekend.
That's funny because that's the same thing she asked us too. If we were going to ever come do that show.
I mean, it's a hell of a show. You know, everybody says like, "Oh, this is a party show," and you know, this show has the best celebrities. This show has this or that. This show has all of the above. It really is like probably the best show in the nation. I haven't been to all of them, but of the all the ones I've been to, and I've been to plenty. It's really fucking great.
I think that's our next stop, actually. We were talking about it earlier. Like, we got to get down to that show eventually.
So,
oh, guys, I won't keep you on much longer. I know you've got a lot of calls to go through. You're probably waiting on some multiple question calls and calls about the...
I want to hear from another lady. That's probably not going to happen.
No, we filled our quota.
I'll let you guys... It was great talking to you guys, and I hope to see you again soon.
All right, buddy. You take care.
Bye.
All right. Take care.
Hello. You have reached Jigsaw on Dead Pit Radio. It's time to play a game. Who's this?
This is John.
What's going on, John? How you doing, boy?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys?
Buddy, I'm off fucking chain insane. What's happening?
Nothing much is happening. I really want to talk about two movies. I know you guys respect them at all. I don't know if you like talk about them much, but I want to talk about Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3 because it's just around that time of the season, man.
I'm glad you brought that up, John. Okay, Sleepaway Camp 2. I have a couple of different thoughts about that movie. Number one, Pamela Springsteen, in my opinion, is the best Angela of that series. And I think that she did the best job in that movie, that particular movie, part two. The other thing about that movie is that's one of the few movies where they utilized like death scenes from other characters in movies, like the Jason thing and the Freddy thing and all that different shit. You remember the backpack and the poster where she's got like all the shit hanging out of it?
The poster,
The best part about the poster is it's not Pamela Springsteen.
Right.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I even remember that as a kid. I was like, who the fuck is that woman? Well, even the third poster.
Yeah, the third
too.
Poster doesn't have anything to do with that either.
Yeah, it's some big titty broad. So, but like, Sleepaway Camp, like, in my opinion, I would rather watch the sequels than the original movie.
I would too.
Just because those are more.
I agree.
They're more fun. They're just my type of movie. Like, I kind of like comedy and horror and they go hand in hand for me at least. And, I think Pamela Springsteen is just a better Angela, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't think Felicia Rose could have pulled that character off like she did in those movies. There's no way.
Now, the interesting thing, though, about part three is, I don't think I like it as much as part two, but I think that it's still a fun movie. You can tell they did it with a lot less budget than part two as well. And it's kind of choppy and kind of lazily put together, but it's still got some of the same type of stuff, like some of the cool stuff, like the, first of all, the songs that she sings and shit in it, like the second.
I think Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3, those movies are great because they don't do that today. Like, that's the one problem. They don't have, I've not seen a movie like that in a long time. This is campy, fun, boobs and blood. Like, you don't need that much. Like, the dialogue in those movies are so ridiculous and just so stupid, and the characters are so, like, out there. It's just, I don't know, it's just, I really wish that director would come back and make a Sleepaway Camp movie or something. I don't know, it's just, we need a movie like that to come out.
Yeah, and the other thing I loved about those movies, too, is that her character is basically, like, the really super like, the reason why she kills people is because she's, like, super moral and nice about everything. And, like, all the people that she kills, are going against something that she believes in. And I always thought that was a really cool idea for a killer.
Right.
Love those.
Yeah, I agree.
Have you seen, we don't have the, they made a DVD for the Sleepaway Camp 4. It was like an Amazon exclusive. Have you actually seen that?
Oh, the Survivor, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know exactly what it is, but they used footage that was on the bonus disc from Best Buy that was released years ago of the unused Sleepaway Camp 4 footage and made that into a movie somehow or something.
Yeah, I don't really know what that was. I don't even think the director Michael Simpson is even behind that. Like that's at least what the rumor was. I don't know if he had anything to do with that, but I watched it. I remember. I don't remember it being so good.
No, it was.
I've heard that quite a bit. It's not too good.
Did you ever see Return to Sleepaway Camp?
Oh my God! I literally think that is one of the worst movies. Like my eyes. I swear to God, I didn't fucking trust my eyes when I watched that fucking movie.
Yeah, all the thing I remember is that kid, what did he keep saying?
Your ass stinks or something like that. Yeah. Is that what he says?
Your ass stinks. That's what he kept saying.
Yeah, I honestly think that movie, that movie seems like it was actually made by a retard. For real.
It does.
Like, because the whole thing with Felissa Rose is being the police officer or whatever, the sheriff or something.
And you could
like
clearly
that.
Tell that was her.
Like, even if you didn't know it was Felissa Rose, you're like, what in the fuck is the deal with that? What in the fuck is that? You know?
The whole movie was just retarded. Like, and the thing is, I know that this might shock you guys. I actually have an interview with the director of the original and Return to Sleepaway Camp. Even though the guy really doesn't do many interviews, he lives in my hometown, which is pretty cool. And my friend is best friends with his granddaughter. So I know the guy. I've met him and stuff. I asked him what the fuck he was doing with that one.
That's awesome. What did he say?
I know.
I'm curious, though. What did he say, like, what he was doing with it?
All right, so I asked him about the original. I said, oh, my life's about the original. He was like, oh, I didn't know. The thing is, he didn't know that the original was such a, like, a well-deserved, like, liked cult film until, like, 10 years after. In, like, 1993, he said, that was the, like, 10 years after. That's when I realized people actually like that movie. He's like, I didn't like that movie. And then I talked to him about Return to Sleepaway Camp. And he said, you know, the thing with that movie was, it was just not development hell, but it was just such a fucking, like, so hard to get it done. He didn't get the right actors that he wanted. Of course, the Felissa Rose thing was absolutely the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he really didn't give me a reason. I don't know if he's against the movie, but it didn't sound like he, like, liked it. Like, he wasn't defending it at all. Like, he wasn't like, he was like, yeah, it's a piece of shit. Like, he agreed with me.
Yeah, I can't imagine him actually defending that fucking movie.
Well, I mean, it was delayed for, like, what, how many, 5 or 6 years before it came out or something like that?
Yeah, it was in production in 2003, and it didn't get made to, like, it didn't come out till like, 2008.
Yeah. Here's the sad thing about that, though. I've actually heard multiple people, and some people that I think are, you know, pretty prominent in the horror field, say that they loved that movie. They thought it was great.
Yeah, well, they're wrong.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, man, I appreciate you calling. We got a couple more phone calls we're going to try to get through, but it's always good to talk different things. We don't talk about Sleepaway Camp enough on here now that I think about it.
No problem, man. Have a great night.
All right. You take it easy. Hello. You've reached Deadbit Radio. Who's this?
Hello. It's Indy Phantom. What's going on?
How are you, sir?
There's a voice from the past. What's going on,
Jesus.
Dude?
Jesus. I just literally thought of it like 2 minutes ago, and I'm like, I think those guys are doing a call-in again. It's been like 4 years since I talked to you guys.
Yeah. It's been 4 years since we did a call-in almost, I think.
It has been a while. I think we did our last call-in probably 5 months ago or something. So.
Yeah, I noticed you kind of abandoned it there for a bit, so I was like, wow, shit, that's pretty cool.
Well, this
to come
one,
back, so.
Yeah, this one's worked out pretty good, so maybe we'll be doing a little bit more often.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, good.
This hasn't been nearly the clusterfuck as most of them usually are.
I think if you do anything too much, though, it's going to be that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think one of the last times I talked to you, Uncle Bill wasn't there. It was J-Real, and we talked about the porno convention up in Vegas. I remember that. I think that was the last time I was on.
Wow. So that's been a while back.
That's got to be like, what, 2008 or 9 or something
yeah,
like
probably.
That. Yeah, probably. Anyway, not too much has changed in in my life, except I haven't been hitting up porn conventions, but still watching some horror. I just saw one that I actually did enjoy was the film Chained, the new Jennifer Lynch film.
Yeah, I actually have that. They sent that one to us, but we haven't watched it yet. Is it worth watching?
Yeah, man, it's like Vincent D'Onofrio, you know, is like as a fat fuck serial killer. And
that was a stretch for him.
Yeah, and he's basically... he picks up, he acquires this kid as a sidekick, calls him Rabbit, and they end up like taking girls back to the place, and he sort of becomes this weird psycho father figure for this kid. But I don't want to spoil anything there, but it's pretty dark, it's pretty visceral, it's, you know, considering there's no nudity in the film, it has a nice sick feel to it. So that's probably, I'd say, in a month where I've seen like 80 horror flicks this month so far, but that's probably top in the list right now. Either that or my brain is just fucking fried and my judgment is gone, but
how
I thought it was pretty good.
How the fuck does anybody watch 80 horror films in 18 days?
Hey, that's what it's like to be partially employed at this point. No, man, I've been doing this, like, horror marathon. I just got into it on some fucking... I mean, who goes to fucking horror forums anymore, but I'm still on a horror forum site. And I've been trying to do 100 films this month, and I'm already up to like 80 flicks.
Yeah, I think you'll do it.
You might be able to get 200 in. Who knows?
Yeah. I think I'm actually like in fifth or sixth place right now on the chart, but it's been going pretty good. I mean, of course, there's some shit there, but thing with a lot of horror, if you watch so many, like when you're getting up to five or six in a day, after a while, your mind kind of goes into this dreamscape, and everything feels like a fucking Argento film or something, so... So I'm kind of enjoying it.
I remember it was probably right before we started doing Dead Pit, and we would do these every October. We would do four or five different days of these film fests, and we would keep trying to see how many goddamn movies we could watch a night. You remember this?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do remember.
And
that.
I think at one point we had gotten up to about 7 movies or something like that.
Yeah,
that's about as much as you can do.
Just back-to-back fucking
Yeah, we'd start like 5 in the evening and go up until like 7 o'clock in the morning or something like that.
Yeah,
and I remember when we did that, we were like, okay, this is probably a little bit too much because we were getting in that same mindset that you were talking about, that, you know, we really were just kind of in a daze most of the time and didn't really know what in the hell was going on anyway, so.
Yeah, and after a while, your mind, I mean, talk about your mind being numb to like, killing and violence and stuff. So I try to vary it up. Like I'll throw in, like I fucking threw on Gingerbread Man 3 and thought it was good.
Yeah, you fucking jumped the shark a long time ago. Then I got bad news.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the first two, and I'm like, I'm watching the third one at like 2 in the morning one night, and I'm like, you know, this is pretty fucking hilarious. I'm laughing at every line in this film.
Is that Saturday Night Cleaver?
That's Saturday Night Cleaver. Yeah, that's the one at the roller disco, man.
Yeah,
there was one that's
the fucking roller disco.
The Passion of the Crust. That was the second.
That was the second one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna do them backwards. So I'm gonna do Passion of the Crust next. I got that ready to roll. So
well, you'll be all confused at that point.
Yeah,
you won't know what's going on.
Well, I haven't gotten to because Gary Busey. I think he's in the first one.
Yeah.
So if I do it in reverse, I'll end up. That with was Busey on my hand.
Yeah, that was a big budget production.
All roads always lead back to Busey anyway, so yeah.
I was actually, I think GoHastings.com, they had a big sale on, I think last Friday or whatever, and I bought some of the I've been in a slasher mood, and I'm always kind of in a slasher mood anyway, but I just tried to find some of the shittiest slashers known to man, and I was getting them for like $1 a piece or something like that. And there was one in particular called Dark Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That I was watching.
Is that an old one, or is that from like 5 or 6 years ago?
That's from about, probably 5 or 6 years ago. And
yeah, I think it was in like that After Dark Horror Fest, or?
No. This is way lower budget than that.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the killer, wore camouflage, and he had a Jason mask that was also painted, you know, like a
camouflage,
in a camouflage color.
Oh God!
And it was so shitty. I just don't want to watch any more of those movies now because it was just so poorly made and put together.
I love how you bought like 9 DVDs for $1 each, and you thought they were going to be killers. Like,
well, this is on a whole other level of shit, though. I mean, so bad, in fact, that you can barely hear what in the hell they're even saying on the, you know,
it's
on the
movie. Shot on shittio, kind of stuff.
Yeah, kinda.
Okay, if you've watched 80 films, then surely there has to be at least 2 or 3 that stuck out as, like, being worth a shit in that.
Or did you watch a lot of classic movies?
No, I didn't. I tried to vary it up, and I've been watching some recent stuff, like another one that was recent called Excision. You must have heard of that one. That one was all right. It was, you know, dark, kind of dark horror comedy. That was pretty good. I saw some that I always meant to get around to, like, The Sentinel, that Michael Winner film.
Yeah.
Was on that. And that was an interesting film. I mean, it was a bizarre film with all, like, the cast, like, Christopher Walken popping up and Jeff Goldblum. And it was, you know, kind of like his later Death Wish movies. He's just, like, so crazy with the camera angles and all the weird shit going on. And that was another one that I watched pretty late. So it kind of, you know, my judgment of it was kind of trippy. So I'm not sure if it was good or bad, but I definitely, that one sticks out in my mind. Of course, if I go back more than 3 days now, I can't fucking remember it. I'd have to look at my fucking list again because I'm trying to watch stuff that I've never seen too. So I'm throwing on some giallos. I saw What Have You Done to Solange? And I fucking thought it was really good. I had no idea that Camille Keaton was in that. That totally took me by surprise, especially when she popped up in that film that she was in this. Hmm. Italian giallo, like earlier than Spit on Your Grave. So that was a surprise, and then I thought that was pretty good.
I'm surprised how, like, because Arrow Video, they were releasing so many great, like, Blu-rays and stuff last year, but it seems like they've kind of, as far as the giallos and all the Italian stuff, they're not really doing anything this year.
Yeah, I mean, right now it seems like Shout Factory / Scream Factory is putting out the most stuff, and I know you guys had Mike Felcher on again and stuff, and that just seems to be it. I don't see too much, Synapse has a few titles here and there, but I'm not seeing so much like Blue Underground. I've never really gotten into the Arrow stuff, so I don't have any of those titles.
It does seem like, though, that Shout Factory is the only real company that's pumping these things out, kind of like Anchor Bay did in the early, you know.
It's totally like Anchor Bay, like 2000 or something, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see. I've seen a bit of the Halloween 2 one. I want to get Terror Train and They Live, but I'm hearing really good stuff about those. And they've got weird stuff, like it's been a while since I've seen Deadly Blessing, so I'll probably check that out when it hits.
Yeah, I think we can both kind of vouch for the transfers on those Blu-rays because they're just insanely good.
Yeah, I mean,
their transfers are just like all those Roger Corman titles look great. Like that company just takes stuff so seriously, like be it television, whatever, that I really enjoy anything from them. And the fact that you can get the reversible artwork, I like the new artwork too, but just the fact that you get that original art on the on the flip side is great.
Well, that's going to come in handy for that Phantasm 2 release because that is the one
you're
artwork
still
that they've done that I think is fucking awful. Like
that's right, yeah. And yeah. I'd say that's my favorite Phantasm as well. Well, the first two are pretty well neck and neck with me.
Yeah, but I just wish they would have gotten Nathan Milner to do the artwork, the guy that was doing, you know, all the other ones. But
yeah, it's someone else. Yeah, I don't think I've seen what the mock-up of that is yet.
Oh, well, you can go on their Facebook, and it's not much, trust me.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, I appreciate you calling, and hopefully it'll be a little sooner the next time you call.
If you guys keep it going, I'm looking forward to listening to this show to hear who's, you know, still in the pipeline of the call-ins.
Dude, I don't know. I think we've done like 6 or 7
probably
calls
more than
this,
that.
Yeah,
there's
maybe.
Still people calling.
So was anyone new on, or was it a lot of people from before?
Several new people, yeah. And there's a couple of different
A lot of people.
People
nobody's heard from in a while, too.
Yeah.
So pretty neat.
Well, it's nice to know they're all still alive and kicking. So that's good stuff. Good to talk to you guys.
All right, man. You take it easy, and we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
We'll see you later.
All right. We're going to take one more phone call.
Okay. Let's see who that will be.
This will be the last phone call
of
the night.
We don't have any phone calls right now. We'll see who it'll be, though.
That way we can wrap it up at even eight. I
don't know how many. I've fucking lost count. But this definitely went better than I thought it would. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who is this?
Woo! It's Whiskey Rock and Roller, boys. How you doing?
I was wondering when you were going to get drunk enough to call.
Well, hell, son, I've been calling for like past hour, over an hour now, man. I looked at my phone log, man. It's like 70-something calls I've made.
Well, you know, we're sort of a big deal.
So. I know. Y'all ballers of shot callers, ain't you?
We really are. We can't help it. It's just we're popular folks.
Yeah, and we actually had a female call tonight. Made me feel special. Gave me a warm and fuzzy feeling.
Right.
Oh, hell. Wait a second. Was the female Dana, though?
No.
Oh, well, hell. That's seven good times, boy. Hell. Stand in the fan base.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've only got about, let's see, I think four female fans, like in the 10 years we've been doing this one.
Yeah, but that's still better than most horror websites.
That's true. I agree with that. So y'all been talking about, man, is horror in general?
We've been talking about a lot of, dirty, stinky whores.
That's true.
Nice.
So what's going on with you tonight? Yeah, anything in particular you wanted to mention?
Oh, hell, man, just sitting here. I just started watching the premiere of American Horror Story.
Have you seen that?
Y'all get to check that out?
You didn't see it last night when it was on?
Nah, I always have to watch it the next day, man.
Jesus Christ. Like, did you see the first season at all?
Oh, yeah, I love the first season.
The first season was amazing, and this season is like, you wait till you watch it. It's completely fucking different. Like, it's insanely different, as a matter of fact. It doesn't even seem like the same show.
Yeah, I'm seeing Jessica Lange right now. She's in a nun outfit and everything. I'm wondering what's going to happen with that, but kind of curious to see how this season plays out.
She's in a nun outfit. I'm sure Steve will enjoy the fuck out of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would.
Oh, crazy motherfucker and these nuns.
Y'all got to check out that Paranormal Witness show.
Paranormal Witness. Is that on Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah.
I've seen it on, but I've never actually watched it.
You know, it's not too bad. I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit like kind of like Unsolved Mysteries did back in the day. It's none of that, you know, paranormal Zach Baggins, you know, type bullshit. It's like they just take, you know, some people that had some shit happen to them and they reenact as actors and everything. Ain't too bad, though.
What is the one where they have the celebrities on there retelling their ghost stories and shit?
Oh, fuck, I don't know what that one is. Yeah. I ain't heard of that.
How many goddamn fucking paranormal and ghost shows are there, though? It's fucking crazy. Like, I don't know. Didn't Jack Osborne have one on that was on last summer or something like that?
Yeah, I really don't know. I don't really watch them anymore. I like Ghost Adventures every once in a while just because Zach Baggins makes me laugh the fucking ass off, man. Dude's a goddamn idiot. Hilarious.
Yeah, we actually...
So he's sitting there, he's getting... Huh, what's that?
We actually met that dude. Well, briefly, like, ran into him at one of the Scarefest shows a while back. He was at in Lexington.
I wouldn't know who the fuck he was. I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen him up there. We took some photos of him from a distance for some friends of ours. We didn't know who the fuck he was until later on. We're like, so that's who this dude is. Like, oh, well.
Yeah, he's always he's fucking, like, uber serious about everything that goes on that show.
Oh, I know, man. Well, it's funny, man. Like, sometimes, man, he'll sit there and he'll try to call shit out and everything, like ghosts and everything. Like he's wanting to pick a fight with him. Max, like, really badass. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like he's a pussy. Hilarious.
Yeah, he hears a noise and, like, fuck. Oh, God.
Is there a paranormal emergency?
I was going to ask you about something, though, because I know you love the show, and I actually watched it recently, too, and thought it was fucking hilarious, the first episode of the new season of It's Always Sunny.
Oh, man.
Did you watch
it? Some Always Sunny. Yeah, I checked that out, dude.
I thought that was fucking hilarious. Like,
have you seen the episode of Sunny Land up in it?
No, I hadn't. Where
they changed,
did you talk about Big Adner?
Yeah, they changed the name of it. It's Always Sunny Land.
It's Always Sunny Land.
With my little dick.
Hey, mama, you want me to show you my pumpkin dick?
Oh, God.
Let me tell you about this time with old Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura.
I'll tell you what, boy. I better not say that. I say it off the show, but people probably take it wrong. That fellow's racist. He shouldn't say things like that.
If there's one thing we know about people from Kentucky, they're not racist.
But I ain't racist. I love all colors.
That's true. He does.
I was going to ask y'all, y'all getting new one sheets lately, man?
The last one that I bought, and I was thinking about this because it's been probably fucking 3 or 4 months since I bought one, would have probably been the one I bought off Slippy, which was a Eaten Alive. I don't know if it was a tie poster or some other version of it that was signed by Toby Hooper that he had, and that was the last thing that I bought, really. I haven't bought a whole lot lately.
Yeah, I haven't really. I get in little, like, you know, earlier this year, I got on a little, you know, buying spree for about a month or so, and I bought a bunch, but there's not really a whole lot more that I want, honestly.
Yeah, there was a period of time there where I was getting a little bit more money, I had a little bit of spending money, so I got on there and I bought like the original Halloween poster and the Sleepaway Camp 2 video poster and fucking, I just kind of went insane there for a while, Suspiria and like.
I think a lot of the ones that I want though is like, they're too out of my price range, like the Jaws one sheet, and I've always wanted a Night of Living Dead one sheet, and you know.
One of those just got listed recently, whatever, last time I looked at it, I think it ended now. Last time I seen it, it was up around 500 something, I think.
What, Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, original Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, those always go for at least around that much, and I'm not about to spend that kind of money on a fucking poster.
But I know how you are, though. I know you've been buying some stuff, so what did you buy recently?
Well, I haven't got a whole hell of a lot lately, whatever, because I've been kind of broke, but yesterday I got in the mail, got a original Mega Man, Chuck Heston.
Oh, a Mega Man? I thought you said Mega Man from, like, Nintendo.
No, no.
Oh, Omega, okay.
Mega Man.
Yeah. Shit, I'd forgotten all about that movie. That movie's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that movie, man. I always think of, like, kind of like Charlton Heston had, like, a nice little trilogy there where, you know, he had Planet of the Apes and then Mega Man, Soylent Green.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, though, too. I know that you all, I don't know if you've made the decision yet. Are you going to try to go to Indianapolis for Whorehound, or what's that looking like for you?
Man, I don't know, man. I'm wanting to, but money's kind of tight. I'm not sure what we're doing on that yet.
Yeah, that's
I still haven't got my Jamie Lee tickets yet, whatever. I don't know if they still got them on sale or not. The other day I checked, and they still had some Sunday tickets, but I don't know.
Yeah, $80 is a little steep.
Yeah, I actually haven't bought the photo op. So
I'm not going to buy
I did
the
get
photo.
The autograph, but, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money. It runs into a lot of money for sure anyway. And then add the addition of, you know, $80 autograph or something. That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's silly.
See, like me, I got that Fog one sheet that I love and everything. I want to get that signed. But at the same time, man, you know, one time you're going to get to meet Jamie Lee, I really want to get a Halloween one sheet, but I still ain't been able to get myself one sheet of that yet.
Well, shame on you, buddy.
Dude, I'm having a real problem. I'm having a real problem with that idea, though, still to this day, of like, okay, I've got a Halloween one sheet, and there's something about getting it signed that's just bugging the piss out of me. I don't know what it is. It's like, even though it's Jamie Lee Curtis, it's still really bothering me, like, because it's an original, and I don't know. I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to do that or just keep it as it is.
Hell, bro, give it to me. I won't have no qualms about getting it signed.
But you know what I mean, though?
As long as you don't get it personalized or anything, I mean, it's going to be worth even more.
For one thing, I'm just worried that she's going to, like, do one of those fucking things like that one guy was talking about where she just, like, grabs it and rips it or something. Like, they don't give a fuck. Like, they don't have any idea, like, about a lot of that stuff. The other thing is, like, just the idea of messing the original artwork and shit up by having somebody sign it bothers me. I don't know.
Get her to sign the black section of it. That's the majority of the damn poster anyway.
No.
I don't know. I don't think it matters too much, whatever. Like as long as you don't have like some name like Gustav or something like that, I think you'd be all right, whatever. Even still getting it personalized. You know, I mean, you know, common names and everything. You know, like I was worried about that. I mean, like, I don't get any of mine personalized anymore unless they already have personal, you know, like I already have somebody else do it. Like all my new ones that get signed, I just have it straight out, you know, just signature, but you know, the other stuff, you know, I don't mind that much. You know, I mean, hell, name's James. So it's like, there's probably going to be some motherfucker out there same name as me wants it.
That's true. But, man, we hope you can make it out so we can, I mean, here's the thing, too. People always talk about all these party shows and shit like that. In my opinion, after hours at Whorehound, that hotel, there's no better fucking party show than at Whorehound, Indianapolis.
Oh, I imagine, man.
I mean,
I've been up there a few times, but I never got to stay around for the partying or anything. Usually I'm just kind of in and out, come by, see y'all for a minute, get some autographs, check shit out, and bounce.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining, though, that you won't be coming to the screening, will you? The Halloween screening?
You know, I don't know. That it's still up in the air, whatever. I'm thinking about it. Like, our main thing is just don't have spare cash right now to get a hotel room and everything. I'm debating on just making the haul down and then seeing the movie and making the haul back. But I don't know, man. It's going to be like about somewhere between 2 to 3 hours one way.
Yeah.
The movie, I mean, looking at like 8 to 10 hours, whatever, staying up.
You know that we do have Silent Night, Deadly Night coming up in December, so if you can't make the Halloween one, we got that one coming up, too.
I did see that, whatever. Talking about movie screens, whatever, I don't know if you boys are interested or not, but Saturday night at the Baxter Avenue, they're going to do a double feature, Frankenstein, Bride Frankenstein.
Yeah, I was actually telling him about that.
Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of cool to do, but I don't know. Like, I'm not a huge Universal fan. I think you're probably more of a Universal fan than I am, aren't
well,
you?
Well, we actually got the new Blu-rays and stuff, too, so we may be checking that out. But
yeah, I've seen that video you posted with the coffin box set.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, they always have, like, I mean, eventually we'll come back to Louisville for some sort of screening. I mean, they always have stuff, not just horror stuff. So I would have loved to seen, I think, Scarefest weekend, we was at Scarefest, they had Back to the Future on. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Well, Friday night, the Georgetown Drive-In, they're going to be showing The Shining.
Yeah, I saw that, too. Like, I'd actually love to see that movie. And there was another one, too, that I didn't even know about until after it was over at the Kentucky Theater in Lexington about a week ago. They had Friday 13th, 2.
And it was free.
No, yeah. Shit. I'll say last Saturday, I was hoping y'all might be able to come up for it, but I know Crater's nuptials are going on that day. Whatever, but, they had Night of Living Dead. Original Night of Living Dead, Georgetown Drive-In, then followed up with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been off the chain.
Yeah,
but
it's pretty sweet, whatever.
Hopefully you can make it out, though. We can hang out some more or something, one of these shows or conventions.
Yeah, I'd like to. Before I get off, whatever, have y'all seen Todd Mitchell and The Innkeepers?
The Innkeepers? That's actually on Netflix right now, and I need to watch it, but I haven't seen it yet.
I just watched it last night. Well, I watched it two nights in a row, whatever. I'm still conflicted. I can't figure out if I like that movie, if I don't like it yet. I was expecting something more along the lines of House of the Devil, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. It's like it's a slow burner. It builds up and everything, but then it's kind of like, you know, it takes a while for scares to come at you, you know?
I loved House of the Devil, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard different things about it. It seems to get mixed reviews. Like, some people like it, some people hate it, but I thought that House of the Devil was one of the best horror films to come out in years.
Me too. I just watched it, I think just last week, whatever. Yeah, I fucking love that movie. It's awesome.
One of the scariest fucking parts of that movie, too, is not anything you would think. It's that scene where Patrick, what's his name? Tom Noonan is in the, like, he's at the kitchen table just talking to her about what she's expected to do, and, like, she keeps getting more and more uncomfortable, and he keeps getting more and more fucking crazy acting, and it's just, it's an amazing.
One of the scenes, I mean, I can't remember what the song was, but it was the scene where the fucking girl was just fucking.
One thing leads to another.
Yeah.
That was the
just
song.
Dancing around. Is that what you're talking about?
What?
Where she's dancing around in the...
That's the song that she's danced to, One Thing Leads to Another. Yeah, but I'm talking about the scene right before that where he's talking to her about, like...
I don't know why.
You know, where he's interviewing her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that guy is like...
First thing, he's telling her what he expects and shit.
Yeah, if anything,
though. Tom totally stole that movie.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, and the director, too. I mean, I think that his visual style, I mean, it was just amazing in that movie. I love that movie. But
I didn't know that he was the same dude did Cabin Fever 2. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I think there were a lot of problems on that movie, though. It wasn't really his movie, even though he was the director.
I mean, it didn't feel anything like him. I was just like I've seen Cabin Fever 2 a long time ago, and I was just like, I was looking at his IMDb page, and I was like, the fuck, is Sucker did Cabin Fever 2? Damn. The fuck happened there?
I've never seen that movie, and I probably will never watch that, though, Cabin Fever 2.
But, man, I think you're going to be the last caller. We've been taking phone calls for about an hour and a half. So, hopefully, though, we'll get to hang out here again shortly at one of these shows and party it up.
It's pretty cool, man. It's my first time calling in. I get to be the last caller tonight.
Is that really your first time calling
in? Yeah, you never called.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I ain't never called before.
Well, there's a first time for everything.
So you do me a favor and tell Crystal that we said hi, too.
That's right. You tell her.
I will. Will do.
You tell her to keep it crusty.
All right, boys, I will. All
right, buddy.
I'll be good now.
Take it easy.
See you.
Bye.
That's like a running joke that we've had. Her name's Krusty Crystal.
Yeah.
She's another CK, so you can get it.
Yeah.
Krusty Crystal. Anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we just got a couple short announcements. We're going to call it a damn show because we ain't reviewing anything, are we?
No, we're not.
Dead Pit.
Dot com, bitch.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe.
Mm-hmm.
The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of, but when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect. So, welcome to the end of the program.
It is the end of the program, folks.
And that was fucking insanity, man. We probably had
anywhere, 8 or 9 calls.
But, I mean, just people calling, we probably had 100 fucking people call. Like,
yeah. I mean, I really appreciate everybody calling in. And, like, it went over. Here's the thing, too. Like, I remember the last time we did it, it was me and Steve. And it went over really well then, too.
Yeah.
But you weren't here.
Right.
So.
I just couldn't believe. Like, for one thing, I started to feel bad because you talk to somebody and you'd see like 5 or 6 numbers pop up
right
on there at the same fucking time, like other people trying to call. But I thought that it's probably one of the best call-in portions that we ever did. So,
yeah, a lot of people calling in, and everything seemed to go smoothly. A lot of good conversation and stuff like that. So appreciate everybody for calling in. One thing. The other thing is, I think we've decided that we should probably do this more often. So
yeah, more often than every 5 to 6 months.
Yeah, probably. I mean, maybe once a month. You know, a couple times a month, something like that. I think we could probably pull that off.
We could call it the welfare call-in portion and just have it once at the first of the month.
First Friday of the month. That's the call-in portion. But I wanted to let everybody know, because there is going to be a little bit of a change of schedule for the next week's show. Our yearly show, we started last year. Dead Pit's Spooky Spooktacular, folks. That's what we've been calling it. The Halloween Spooky Spooktacular.
Spook, 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 spook,
which
spooky.
Is the best way to describe it is kind of like a variety show, if you will. And we're going to try to add as much weird and cool shit in it as we can. So, it's not going to be next Friday, but we're going to, let's say we'll put it on the night before Halloween.
I think that's
on
the
30th.
That's a good bet right there, yeah.
Tuesday night, the 30th. That'll be the Spooky Spooktacular. Now, we're not going to be doing another show that week. That's going to be the only week. So there's only going to be one show covering the rest of the month, and that's going to be on the 30th, right?
Right.
Because that gives us, honestly, and here's the thing. We both love doing the show, but the thing is, when it comes to talking about horror movies and stuff, it's just not happening. There's nothing going on.
Right.
You know, we brought the show back to once a week.
We'd love to be able to talk about something if there's anything to fucking talk
about. Yeah, and hopefully in the next coming weeks, months ahead, there's going to be a resurgence. But, I mean, we just don't see it right now. It's, you know, as far as this time of year, I mean, even screeners and stuff, I haven't gotten hardly any damn thing in.
Haven't either. I don't think I've gotten a screener in months, to be honest.
I mean, there's nothing coming out, you know. And the stuff that comes out that we get, like, I don't know.
It's a bunch of ice.
Yeah, it doesn't look too good. So, but we're going to continue for the rest of the month. We're going to have different videos up, reviews and stuff like that, and just various cool shit to continue on with the show. But as far as talking about the news and the horror and stuff, like, there's just nothing to talk about. I mean, you look on the show this week, we had about four news topics, and two of them we normally wouldn't have even mentioned.
Right.
Namely, the Twilight thing. Fuck, who gives a shit? But also, the biggest event for Dead Pit, and it's another reason why we wanted to focus, put all of our fucking marbles in one bag, if you will. The biggest midnight movie in the history of Eastern Kentucky is being put together by Dead Pit Radio. Isn't that right, Uncle Bill?
That is true.
On October the 27th, it's Saturday night, midnight, we're going to have a 35mm screening of the original classic from John Carpenter, Halloween. It's the ultimate movie to watch on Halloween around this time of year. So we're looking to have a sellout crowd for that.
We will sell that out, by the way.
It's going to be huge.
If I have to buy fucking 20 tickets myself, it'll be sold out.
It's completely sold out.
But we actually probably will, because there's already been like a ton of tickets sold.
Yeah, we've sold a really good amount so far.
You should buy your ticket immediately. You should come out and support us, because after this, we're already going to do another screening, so you can't stop
us.
Right. You can only hope to contain us for a brief period.
Let me say this, too. I mean, we do have the promise that, oh, yes, the December screening is going to happen. Okay, that's Silent Night, Deadly Night, 35mm.
Right.
But after December,
who knows?
There's no promises. So if you have yet to come out to one of these things, if you're a little bit out of town, always wanted to come to one of them, these two are for sure fucking happening. Now, there could be no more after this for one big reason, the fact that the theater may not be there, may not be open.
Right.
So I'm just telling, I'm going to be up front with all you people that there's a good chance Silent Night, Deadly Night will be the last screening we do at the Strand. I mean, I'm not saying 100%, but the word is circulating, Uncle Bill.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know anything for sure. We don't know, like, what's going to happen.
But the thing is, and the way I look at it is, if that ends up being the last one, I want to get up there and say, you know, I would not have done it anywhere else. That was the ideal place we wanted to do it. I remember back in 2007, we talked to the guy and I said, look, I don't want to do it in any other theater. I don't think he thought it would work back then. I think he thinks
it works now.
Yeah, if he would have, we would have been doing it all the way, you know.
But I'll be honest with you. I'll be completely honest. Like, I never thought in a million fucking years we'd ever get to do it. Like,
right.
Just because, like, nothing like that. You don't understand. Nothing like this was ever done here. Ever. Like, in the history of the fucking theater.
And what's funny is, too, the reason I enjoy it so much is we are still, when it comes to a lot of local businesses and douchebag assholes, nobody cares, you know. Nobody. I sent an email out to probably 500 businesses around the area. Didn't get one response back, anybody wanting to sponsor anything. So it's kind of like, you know.
If we'd have had a fucking hillbilly arm drag, dick ass race.
Oh, fuck yeah.
They'd been all over that stupid shit.
So it's kind of like the whole us versus them thing. And I know there's fans out there because you guys have been to the shows, and every one of the shows have been a huge success. And, you know, if Silent Night, Deadly Night's the last one, I'm honestly fine with that, because the fact is that we at least got to do it. And it was proven that we fucking succeeded.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's one of those things where if we would have just gotten to show like Halloween, I would have been fine with it. I mean, we will end up showing, what, five movies there?
Yeah.
So that's more than I ever thought.
And hey, you know, I'm not saying for sure we don't know exactly what's happening. All I know is the movie business is in the shitter. They're not making a whole lot of money at that theater on the regular movies and stuff like that. So anything could happen. I'm not saying for sure that it's closing or anything like that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
No.
So if you want to get out to either of those shows, December the 14th, midnight on Friday night for Silent Night, Deadly Night. And October the 27th, Saturday night, midnight, for John Carpenter's Halloween. And that one, there's no doubt that one's more than likely going to sell out. So get your tickets if you're interested. You can order them off the website. And that's it for the show, though. I hope everybody enjoyed the call-ins. I had a lot of fun, actually, doing that. Like, I was surprised.
It kind of brought me back to the good old days when there was actually stuff to talk about. Which doesn't,
Yeah, maybe we should just do the call-ins every week now.
I think that that would quickly derail and fucking turn to shit.
Yeah, but we should definitely not do them, you know, once or twice a year. We should do them more than that.
I agree.
So anyway, that is it. I hope everybody has a happy Halloween. You will hear us on Halloween Eve for the Dead Pit Spooky Spooktacular, Uncle Bill.
It's going to get really fucking spooky.
Brought to you by DeadPit.com.